Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You get our son!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 91.
Woo.
Nearing that 100. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack. Right now, the only other person in here is... All right, Brent, you're a recurring guest now.
I am a recurring guest.
Mr. John Feidelberg. Yes. Fights, what's going on?
There's someone else in the room.
Very happy to be here.
Okay, there is someone else in the room. Colby. He gave us the wave. Who's going to be patching in Mr. TB Trillbollins, who is currently stuck on the PATH train, getting back into Hoboken. He was in the city today. He didn't even come and say hi.
I didn't know Trill lived in Hoboken.
He definitely does. He definitely does. He definitely... No, it's... it's not a joke. Yeah, it's for sure. Yeah.
It's very true.
It's real. I hate when I get notifications on my phone as we start from people who write movie news. Okay, that one I don't care about. I'm not going to talk about that. Trill will be on in a minute. But for now, we're going to... Going to hammer through some movie news. And don't worry, we will ask him what's going on. We'll get his typical Trill rant. But first up, actually, we're going to save Cats till he gets on. We're going to save that one. It's new stand-up trailer. New stand-up comedy trailer for Adam Sandler. He made that, like 20-picture Netflix deal? Mm-hmm. Remember any millions? And now
it got racist with it.
Yeah, and it got really...
What was that one?
Ridiculous Six.
Super
not okay movie.
I didn't see. I just know there was... some uproar around.
And, like,
it.
Just also not funny. We talked about that when we had Mr. Sunday Movies on. He's like, we talked about this guy who did Summer High Tide, Chris Lilley,
mm-hmm.
how he was great there, and then in Australia he got kind of racist.
He's doing blackface.
Like,
you just can't do that.
Like, this isn't funny anymore.
It's just not cool.
It's just not good.
I didn't know he was doing that.
Yeah.
Tell you what, it's making me laugh right now. Give him that.
Talking about it is funny.
Yeah.
So, yes, Adam Sandler. And that's the other thing. It was shitty. It's a shitty movie. Now he's doing stand-up. And they're making it a special, and it's a play on the fact that his movies, I think, are all crap because they call it 100% fresh, which I get is like his new comedy, right? Like, I guess that's like the conceit. But also, I think they're playing the fact that most of his movies are nowhere near 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
As soon as I saw it, I didn't even know what the title was yet. I just saw, like, it was kind of one of those automatic play Twitter ads, you know, not ads, but I follow Rotten Tomatoes and whatnot. And I saw it start playing, and I saw the huge crowds he was playing to. And I immediately was like, oh, he's been doing performance art for the last 20 years? this has been a long con by Adam Sandler, but he's just going to go out on stage in front of huge crowds. Those people playing festivals and be like, hey, look, I'm actually still really fucking funny. I've just been doing those shit movies to fuck with you.
Like when Joaquin Phoenix did that one movie with Casey Affleck and he went on Letterman all fucked up. He was going to be like a rapper or something.
Yeah, said he was retiring. He was retiring from acting, I believe. Yeah, he was going to be a rapper. He was a disaster. People hadn't seen him in forever, right? He had the beard, the hair. He was all over the place.
What was it called? I'm Still Here. I almost said extremely loud and incredibly close.
That's the 9/11.
Not
even
at all.
Close.
Not even in the same ballpark.
Both real wrecks, though.
I kind of want to watch this, though. That didn't dawn on me at all. That'd be so funny if he actually, like, Jack and Jill. Yeah, that was a think piece. But, I kind of want to see, like, what he's got left in the tank here. And, like, some of it didn't seem funny, but some of the other stuff, like, that's, like, classic Sandler. Maybe it's good.
New songs? I'm absolutely down for new Adam Sandler songs. And also, actually, I'm leaning into this performance piece thing because That dude hasn't worn anything but sweatpants in public in 20 years either.
200 years. That true, or khakis, right? Or just big athletic shorts,
yeah,
of some sort.
Wearing like slippers on fucking Conan. We could. This is like part Joaquin here. This could be a little something we're onto.
He does have the biggest athletic. I know, Kendrick, you're obsessed with the athletic shorts.
I just think he doesn't give a fuck about anything. And I mean, I respect that to a degree.
The athletic shorts is, I think it's my favorite red carpet attire anywhere. I don't like. Imagine if the Met, like whenever, like in 40 years or 50 years when he passes away, the Mets, like their theme is Adam Sandler, and all these celebrities come in Adam Sandler big shorts.
I mean, yeah, you kind of have to. It's like a parade of people.
I would love
parade,
that.
Except it's just a big short parade.
he kind of took. Remember, there was that scene in Entourage where they were all going to wear sneakers, and they thought that was the cool thing to kind of buck the trend on the red carpet. They're like, "Yeah, we're going to wear sneakers, yeah, with suits." And I think Turtle's mom called him, was like, "Don't you dare do that," or something along those lines. I could be flubbing some timelines, but I think Adam Sandler kind of did that. Where he's like, "I want to be hilarious and different, and I'm wearing athletic shorts on the red carpet now."
Yeah, now he's just stuck with it.
And now it's the thing.
Yeah, it's my thing. Again, we've referenced this before, but it's like when people walk up to Chadwick Boseman and say, do the thing. Yeah. That's basically, wear the thing, Adam Sandler. Wear your big athletic shorts.
I remember they had that Chadwick Boseman, like a viral video where he kind of hid behind a Black Panther movie poster, yeah, yeah, and people like told the poster what it meant to them or something like that.
Yep.
Which, like, if you're doing that, you have to know Chadwick Boseman,
yeah,
behind,
right,
that poster.
Yep.
If Kimmel is making you talk to a wall, Chadwick Boseman's behind,
that's
the,
so,
wall.
That's so true. That happens all the time. People are always surprised by that.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, okay, you guys are all the Rock's biggest fans. Here's Jimmy Fallon. here, tell us, while your back is turned to this poster, which is clearly split in two down the middle, please tell us why you love The Rock so much.
If that ever happens, or if that blonde dude ever asks you, what do you think the best car is? It's a fucking Chevy.
Always. Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's on you at that point.
Yeah, yeah, what do you think the best? And then they always have the dumb guesses. Oh, I don't know.
I could have sworn it was a Ford F-150. Nope, it's a Chevy Silverado. We've asked this for 5 years straight now.
Oh my god. Okay, another trailer. This is a fucking weird one. It's called, what's it called?
King Arthur movie for kids.
King Arthur kids movie. It's called The Kid Who Would Be King. It's a kid who finds a sword. I think they're in England, I think, right? Oh, they're definitely in England.
They're definitely,
yeah,
in England.
That is for,
yeah,
sure.
The opening shot is literally
London. That's
Tower
London
Bridge.
Bridge right there.
Yeah. so he finds a sword, and he's like, him and his friends think, oh, this could be King Arthur's sword. Mm-hmm. And then some random guy comes in and says, like, you're a god now, or you're a king now. And they fight a bunch of fucking,
bring back Percy Jackson. Why are we
demons
doing this?
Yeah. And this is another King Arthur movie.
Yeah.
Has there been a good one that maybe I just haven't seen? Has there been like a successful?
What were we just talking about? The 2004 one? The one with Clive Owen, the Guy Ritchie one?
No, the Guy Ritchie, 2004?
Was that it? Was that,
no,
the
that was like
Ritchie,
a year ago.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie was Charlie
Hunnam. The Legend of the Sword. Fuck that.
Oh,
movie.
See, I thought that's what
I was
talking
about. The 2004 Clive Owen one,
no,
for
Guy,
this whole time.
Guy Ritchie did.
I was like, I didn't know he fucking directed, yeah, that. That's Guy why when you said, you're like, you mentioned like that's Guy Ritchie's last movie. I'm like, he hasn't made a movie since 2004?
No fucking way. Yeah, Legend of the Sword
was
Guy Ritchie and Charlie Hunnam.
Yes.
Wait, he's in both?
And Jude Law.
This is just Legend of the Sword. This is the
and
one.
And then the other
year
one was...
Wasn't Clive Owen another one? I thought
Yeah, that's 2004 one I'm talking about.
Okay, okay.
And that one had a star-studded cast.
King Arthur movie.
Yeah,
King Arthur
was like 04. Keira Knightley, maybe?
Yeah, Keira Knightley was in it. Stellan Skarsgård was in it. Ian, the guy from Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Keira Knightley.
Hugh Dancy. Like, there's a lot of people in that weren't famous at the time.
Oh, Mr. Fantastic,
now. Yeah, Mr. Fantastic.
He's got one of the worst spelt names ever.
I don't know.
First
how
name
the fuck you would try to pronounce
Ioan, last name Gruffudd. Like, Ioan Gruffudd.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to say it.
Ray Winstone, you ever watch The Departed? The guy, like, the really deep voice guy, like, what are you on your period?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That guy. That guy, Ray Stevenson from Rome, Keira Knightley, Stephen Delaney, who plays the brother in Game of Thrones. Against Stellan Skarsgård from Thor. I mean, it's a big crew, and none of them are famous at all at this time. And now they're Joel Edgerton, too. That's right. Joel Edgerton, former warrior, and going to be in a
Love
boy
Joel Edgerton. Joel Edgerton's been in everything recently.
Yeah.
Directing.
Anton Fuqua, I think he say his name. He did Training Day, a movie you must fucking
and
love.
And Equalizer. And Equalizer, too.
Oh, really?
We just came full circle.
Well, we didn't come full circle. If you don't remember, that's the last movie Fights was on for. Was Equalizer and Mamma Mia?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely delightful movie. This movie looks just completely ridiculous. And it's another King Arthur movie. But it's like a King Arthur kids movie. And don't forget...
Just do it right once.
Transformers, The last Transformers movie. Did you see that one? The Last Night?
No, I used to be a big.
I have standards.
I left with Shia, I think. I think
movie.
I might have caught the Mark Wahlberg late, the first one. Maybe I caught parts of it. But yeah, I stopped like really caring about that with Shia.
That movie, Transformers, which there's another Transformers movie that twists history, and we'll get to that later. But this one, it twists the idea that King Arthur and like the Round Table, or whatever, the Transformers were part of the Round Table.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, you sound too interested.
Yeah, now I'm like, hang on a second here.
And Merlin
couple
was
sword wielding cars and working with King Arthur.
That's literally what it was. Yeah. Yes. And then
and drunk Merlin, Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci's as Merlin.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm in. Here we go.
Shia LaBeouf's character was a
what the Witwickins?
The Witwickins and Shia LaBeouf's character was like a descendant of Merlin or something.
Yep, that's right.
That kind of that's a little kind of like a National Treasure crossover.
Yeah,
I always thought the Witwickins kind of had a little National Treasure feel to them.
Ooh, that's a crossover. I would be okay with the Transformers.
If that's how National Treasure gets its way back to the big screen, I'm okay.
That's in the Book of Secrets.
Yeah.
Transformers.
The Witwickins and their legacy.
I have more Transformers talk for later. I don't know if you've seen the other Transformer, how many you've seen, but if you remember, hold it in, because there's something with Transformers I have to talk about. All right, Gambit. Gambit movie, delayed again. As we talked about a few weeks ago, but now they have talked about, the producer has, what Gambit has been inspired by, which is crazy because
I love this.
Like, what the, like, inspired by what? There's no fucking movie. Simon Kinberg revealed, like, what movies he wrote. The first movie I ever wrote was Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and that was a romantic comedy.
Good movie. I love it.
Smuggled into a
classic
spy thriller, and the same way that on the surface it will be a superhero movie with, you know, people love superpowers and things are going to explode and there's going to be car chases and all of that, doing all the powers and cards that you are familiar with. Sounds so lame, though. All the card tricks.
Yeah. Love those cards.
Underneath that will be a romantic comedy undercurrents, and it's not really like rom-coms from when we were growing up or when I was growing up. It's more going back like Philadelphia Story and His Girl Friday and just the kind of pattern banter of that and fun and speed of those kinds of movies. So just a mishmash and romantic comedy. And I mean, I don't know.
Just Now You See Me.
Like, yeah, he's just like throwing a bunch of shit out there, which I guess like, but what is it inspiring?
It worked for me. I'm an easy sell.
That's
like,
true.
Like, I didn't care about Gambit. I didn't have, you know, I love Channing Tatum, obviously. I'm a man with a heart. But once I got to romantic comedy, I was in. I'm totally in on a superhero romantic comedy. Hell yes.
And a New Orleans themed romantic comedy. Get some of that like just New Orleans magic in it. I don't know. I'm kind of interested in that, but still, it's never going to come out. So
in my head, it's beautiful right now, though.
Yeah.
But like he says that, but like there's really nothing there. So like it's just really in his head. Like this is what I'm thinking is going to be pretty fucking cool, right?
Like equal parts Saving Private Ryan and something about Mary. So
it's like the Titanic Godfather mixed in with The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of all those things. So
well, what was the one we talked about a movie recently
that said the same bullshit?
That said that it was going to be like.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't remember the movie, though, but they did the same bullshit. They just listed like a bunch of really good movies, and they're like, yeah, it's going to be like a little bit of all of these.
I think that's
like
how movies just get made.
But it's like a brilliant pitch. Like,
that's what I mean. Like, you walk into a Hollywood studio, and you're like, yeah, it's going to be these four great things.
Yeah.
Fuck, that sounds awesome.
It's going to be like one of these every Oscar winner movies. It's going to be equal parts of all that. Like, okay, I guess. You sold me, I guess.
Whatever works. Next up, Tom and Jerry. Uh-oh. A live-action Tom and Jerry. And you're shaking your head. Live-action Tom and Jerry in the works from the director of the buddy cop movie Ride Along.
Which is a classic. I love me some Kevin Hart. You know, come on. When Kevin Hart says, I farted out my heart, that's the funniest shit.
I can't wait for him to be a super sad boy.
We need to do a watch-along with you when we do it with Tyler and Colby, because I feel like when we pick a bad movie, you're going to fucking love it, and you're going to tell us to shut up. What are you talking about? This is great.
Yeah, I probably will. I definitely will.
But this is...
I'm out on live action.
Live action,
I get gassed up for. Like, first of all, when I hear live action, I think of... what's her name?
Beauty and the Beast?
No, thinking Peter Pan. When she played like Peter Pan live on NBC.
Oh, you think of Broadway shows?
Yeah, like I think when I hear live action, that's what I think. Live action isn't a good use for like this new Aladdin is live action, right? Yeah. All we've seen is CGI. That's not live action.
Was it Allison Williams played Peter Pan?
That's who it was.
So, yeah,
super. I was weird. Like the correspondent's daughter or whatever. But yeah, that
Brian Williams, liar, the liar guy. That's the guy just made shit up.
Liar. I think he gets a bad rep. He told an exaggerated story.
Like he's a fibber.
Yeah, we caught some bullets in my helicopter. Whatever. But the. What was I going to say? I'm sorry.
This will be in the same vein as Aladdin and what Beauty and the Beast.
And those things I get gassed up for, but I never end up going to see. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm excited about like the Beauty and the Beast soundtrack. I'm sorry, the Lion King soundtrack. And I was excited to watch the Aladdin trailer, which turned out to be a teaser because trailer is very misused nowadays. And then, I guess I saw Beauty and the Beast on a plane once. That was fine. But they're always like, it sounds great that it's coming back that way. Tom and Jerry to a much lesser extent.
Yeah.
But I don't really care about live action.
What compelling story could you make out of Tom and Jerry?
Like, it's just...
Jerry beat Tom again. Like, well, that's it. End of the story. Like, does Tom win?
And isn't there going to be a Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote movie,
right,
too?
Yep.
Yeah, like, what? Like all of a sudden, we're just bringing back these really old, like, versus cartoons.
Just unnecessary.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, again, I don't really know what the poll is. And the other thing is, if this does work, because it's one of the Hanna-Barbera shows, do they start bringing back other things again?
Bring back the Flintstones
they
again.
They for sure are going to make a new Flintstones movie, yeah, right?
Round two. Yes. Who plays Fred Flintstone now? Because you can't have Goodman do it again. Or Rick Moranis, because he's on hiatus.
Or could you? Rick Moranis retired.
I feel like you have to have Goodman do it again. I can't think of anyone else who would do it.
We were saying that, I think, literally last podcast, how he was like the best. Like, if you could have picked anybody to have ever played Fred Flintstone, he was the best person ever.
100%.
Like, nobody else could have done it. It's going to end up being fucking James Corden.
Who was the...
yeah,
guarantee
right.
He'll end up
he'll
going
be,
him.
Yeah, he'll
right.
be Barney.
Oh, Barney,
oh my
yeah.
God.
He'd be a great Barney. Yeah, oh, my God.
Actually.
He'd be an amazing Barney.
Actually, I kind of want James Corden as Barney Rubble.
Yeah. Like, I actually like that. And not ironically, like, I love that as him as Barney Rubble. But who would... I don't know who...
Who was in that movie? Goodman. So you had... Oh, sorry,
oh you know who's playing Fred is...
The Rock. I wouldn't hate that. Or him just being in it in general.
The Rock, the Rock Fred Flintstone makes sense.
It's a little too and hit the nail on the head.
Then they had... Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell was Betty Rubble.
Yeah, that's right.
But see, that was a weird live action too, though. Because do you remember the Dino? Is that what the
dinosaur?
Dog dinosaur's name was? He was live action.
Yeah, like, most of it.
There wasn't CGI. Yeah, yeah, it was super weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't. And then the next one was the Flintstones. Viva Rock Vegas.
Yeah. Viva Rock Vegas ruled. I'm sorry if this offends anyone, but it was awesome.
Well, yeah, Dino looked like from the Dinosaurs kids show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The old dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was down with it though. I thought the Flintstones movie was great.
Which episode were we on? We were talking about like what food we would want from a show, and I still think like that. Oh, we were on radio, and I said the dinosaur rack of ribs still sounds so appetizing to me. I mean, I'd eat one of them, but it looks delicious, and just tips your car over. I mean,
I feel like that's something they used to serve at what was like the
one of those
the Hard Rock
restaurants,
the Hard Rock Cafe, no Rainforest Cafe.
I feel like you could get
dinosaur ribs or something along those lines.
We talk about Rainforest Cafe. That was so awesome as a kid. When you think back on it, what a pile of shit that place was.
I don't even like good food. Like.
The you liked the food?
What's that? No.
Oh, the food was terrible.
No, the exact opposite.
It's awful. And then the thunder and lightning in the restaurant.
Yeah. I can see my parents. There used to be another one by our house in Seekonk in Massachusetts called Bugaboo Creek or something like that. I don't know if that was a national chain or if that was more local. But the same kind of thing, like getting yelled at by animatronics and shit like that. Parents must fucking hate us.
I know.
Just like, come on, dude. Dad's like, I just want a steak tonight, man. Like, I just want to eat at home. And it's like, nope, we got to go get yelled at by toys and like have like waiters do weird singing songs to us and shit like that.
Just being like Chuck E. Cheese as an adult, like, oh, that sounds fucking.
That's the thing. Like, the older I get, I'm like, God, we made our parents go to that.
Even the movies and most pop culture, like,
you're right. It's just like, it's
can we hear you, Trill?
Speaking of fathers,
what's up?
There he is.
It's
Mr. Ballins. We're just talking about how when you're a kid, you make your parents go to garbo places like Chuck E. Cheese or Rainforest Cafe. And then the older you get, you're like, oh, man, why did I make them do? And now it's like for you, especially with the kid, you're going to get the payback sooner than later.
Yeah. So at first I thought I'd have a hard time getting into the podcast because I didn't know what you guys were be talking about. But it turns out you're talking about a subject I'm very passionate about. So I'm very in. I am, even in my old advanced age, I'm a purveyor of garbo places. I'm ready for the Rainforest Cafe.
That's exactly.
I'm ready for Dave and Buster's. I'm ready to go see like Three Ninjas, the Squeakquel, or whatever shit. Now, my dad is different. My dad was born in the 40s. So so he comes from a different cut. He wasn't one of these pampered millennials like I was. So he has an extra badge of honor for coming from that generation and going to see like, you know, the Hunchback of Notre Dame 8, whatever.
this was you were older for this. We just talked about the Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas, the
hell yeah,
sequel to the original. Well, we talked. Okay, you're going to give a quick one sentence on each of these before we hit our last news story. We saved the best for you.
Okay.
Adam Sandler stand-up Netflix movie.
I'll probably watch it like when I'm just completely zoned out on CBD oil.
From Sunday Scaries.
Yes. Specifically. Mm-hmm. You mean gummies.
Yeah,
gummies.
The oil in the gummies, baby. I take the gummies. I melt the gummies down in a crock pot, and then I drink it.
Jesus.
Live action Tom and Jerry.
Oh, yeah. I love this shit. You know what? Brecken Meyer, our boy Brecken would be a perfect Jerry.
Yeah,
he would.
I love that.
After all, we didn't even bring up Garfield when talking about this.
Yeah,
you guys interviewed Brecken Meyer, right?
We did.
Did you talk about Garfield?
We spent a vast majority of the time talking about how he slept in a coffin.
Yeah, okay. I mean that was I listened to that part of it. It was insane.
That was
insane.
Our Reddit, the Lights Camera Pod Reddit.
They've been going crazy. They're wild. They're out of pocket.
They posted a cartoon of Alvin and the Chipmunks porn.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is
I mean, that was a great picture. That was a great meme.
This was based
funny.
Off us showing Garfield memes to John R. Not to, well, he is John Arbuckle, to Brecken Meyer, which were not X-rated memes at all. And so that got posted. It got okay, but it wasn't
the ones I showed you were definitely X-rated.
Yeah, yeah, okay, that's true.
I thought I saw some of them. Like,
we did pull
Garfield passed out with a bucket full of cum or something. Right now. Yes. Like, it's close. Yes. Very close.
Okay, so it was Alvin having sex with another chipmunk. This one today was John Arbuckle having sex with Garfield.
Yeah.
And that I had to post in our Reddit. I'm like, okay, let's make sure we tag these with not safe for work.
Yeah.
Nice shot. You just
nailed it.
I can't help but to feel responsible for this. I was the one who encouraged the release the Pod Jeff posts and just complete and utter chaos on the Reddit.
And now they've
reverted to their baser instincts of posting cartoon hentai of
just deviant art.
I mean, it's a fucked up picture of
CGI Marmaduke licking Garfield's nuts.
It's a fucked up picture of John Arbuckle and Garfield having sex. I mean, it's absurd.
I don't know if there's a non-fucked up version
That's
of
true.
Garfield and John Arbuckle
It's about
sex.
As bad as I can imagine. Yeah, we went from please, because we don't have a shit posting rule. I'm just like, all right, if we're going to post, like, let's not post the same fucking thing over and over. Like, get creative. So I made my bed with this one. Yeah. But I'm like, all right, if you're going to post it, at least put like a not safe for work so one of our audience/listeners doesn't get fired from their job because they have Garfield and John Arbuckle getting at it, knocking boots.
So what percentage of the people who draw these John Arbuckle and Garfield type, I don't want to call them drawings. I'll call them like
renders.
Are doing it seriously to get their own self off versus who does it ironically to post something funny on the internet.
Like the way you do in our group chat?
Yes. Like
definitely
like
ironically.
How I have a picture that I was going to send to you guys to show to Brecken Meyer called Shrecken Meyer, which was Brecken Meyer morphed into Shrek.
Just like real.
I think that was definitely for your pleasure.
real classic.
Doing this ironically.
Okay, we're gonna ask you because Fights, you got a hard out. You got so much to do tonight. So Trill, we're gonna
Such
ask you about we're gonna ask you about your day when we wrap up our top 10 space movies. So for now, we have one more news story, and that is Cats. Idris Elba. This is obviously we're the biggest fans of this movie of all time. I'm thinking that we're going
to
probably go dressed as cats.
We kind of have
cat
to now.
We have to at this point.
We're in the box.
Idris Elba joins a cast of Taylor Swift, Jennifer Hudson, Ian McKellen, and he keeps getting fucking buried on the list. James Corden, most important person hands down. James Corden will obviously be playing without question. Busta for Jones, the fattest cat you know. Trill, Idris Elba has to be playing Mr. Mistopheles, right? The charisma is too much off the charts for Idris Elba to not be playing Mr. Mistopheles.
What other characters left other than Mr. Mistopheles? Except maybe like 68 of them.
Well, okay, so the other fat one is old Deuteronomy, which is probably...
No, that's...
He's too
that's
old.
That's not Idris Elba.
I always...
Idris Elba. So Mr. Mistopheles, right? He's the show cat, right? He's the glitzy, glamoury one.
He's the magical conjuring cat is what he's called.
Rum Tum Tugger?
Rum Tum Tugger's a rocker. He's kind of a badass. He's like the Elvis cat.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, Idris Elba is a musical artist, so.
He could be the main cat, too. The main cat that runs the show.
Skimble Shanks.
Skimble. Do you know the names?
I don't. I was raised with a healthy appreciation for Broadway, and I used to go to shows all the time. And the only show my parents looked at me and said, "You want to get out of here?" Those cats. And I'm so happy they did. I was miserable. I was probably like 12. I was so miserable. I've never even tried to see it again. Idris Elba and Taylor Swift can get me to do it, but I won't be happy about it.
It's Monkastrap. That's the main narrator. He could be the narrator. He's got a good voice. Yeah. Fights. I'm sorry, anyone listening who has heard this many times, I have to read it every time I have the chance. You have Bumble Rena, Busta for Jones, Griddlebone, Grizzabella, Growl Tiger, Jelly Room, Jemima, something Jenniana Dots. I don't even know that one. McCavity, Mr. Mistopheles, Mungo Jerry, Monkstrap.
That's my favorite.
Mungo Jerry.
Mungo Jerry sounds like a Francesca call.
It's a banger of a song. It's a duo. It's Mungo Jerry and Rumpel Teaser. Then Skimble Shanks.
With editing this Wikipedia page so much and adding fake names, I'm not encouraging anyone to do that because I'm sure, like, by the time the next podcast airs, like, editing a Wikipedia will be a felony. But don't do that. But, like, you could just, like, add underneath all that, like, it's like, Mr. Mistopheles, Grumbelina, Carl, fuck.
Well, McCavity is the villain. I could see him being the villain because he's been the villain before in some things. But then a couple others, you got Tumble Trudis, Carbuckety. There's
Bill
a lot
Bailey.
Of cats.
Isn't that just like a comedian or something? that's on this list. Then just Bill Peter.
Isn't I mean Bill Bailey?
He got fucked.
Like,
his name was just Peter. Peter and Victor.
Oh
Big
boy,
Brumpo.
Big Brumpo. Yes.
All right, so we have to get to our first man. Review, obviously, but first up, we have an ad read for TiVo? What do you want to go with
TiVo,
first?
We have TiVo first, then LinkedIn.
TiVo.
Hey, everybody. I'm here to talk to you about TiVo. The Emmy Award-winning pioneers in entertainment are back with some brand new innovations for everybody, whether you have cable or antenna. The TiVo Bolt OTA box for antenna and the TiVo Bolt Vox are both all-in-one devices that incorporate live TV, DVR, and streaming in a single device. You can skip commercials with the tap of a button and watch shows 30% faster with pitch-corrected sound. TiVo has put together a deal just for LCB listeners. 20% off any TiVo Bolt OTA or TiVo Bolt Vox. Just head on over to TiVo.com/lights20 and remember promo code lights20. That's TiVo.com/lights20 with promo code lights20 for 20% off. Make sure you go buy a TiVo box so you can live stream and DVR football just like me, Kansas City quarterback Pat Mahomes.
All right, that was great.
It was. That was a hard-fought ad.
That was a fantastic TiVo.
Thank you to Kansas City quarterback Pat Mahomes for coming in for that ad read. Appreciate it.
Oh, no.
Thanks to Showtime Pat Mahomes. Now we have an interview with Ike Barinholtz.
Carl, fuck.
Ike Barinholtz. He's in a new movie, The Oath, writer directorial debut.
And we love it, folks. We love it.
He is fantastic. So here's our interview with Ike Barinholtz. We are back here on, I guess we didn't go away. It's a podcast.
Yes.
We didn't really go away.
We didn't run away.
On Lights, Camera, Barstool with our guest, Ike Barinholtz.
What's up, guys? It's a real hubbub in this office.
It is?
Like it's like what you imagine the Daily News was in like 1984. Like, what's the score of the game? Hernandez. Ah, he sucks. He's all coked out.
Very professional environment. We're all wearing suits right now. You can't see us, but we're wearing suits.
Uh-huh. And, you guys are wearing suits.
Yep.
But you're wearing swimsuits.
Yes.
Which
that's true. These are basically trunks.
I wish I would have known. I would have dressed appropriately, but here we are.
You are here to talk about, well, your new movie, and then we're going to talk to you about some other things. The Oath.
Yes.
Let's talk about The Oath for a second. Out in theaters, limited release, is that correct?
It was limited release last weekend. Now it's out there.
Okay.
It's out in movie theaters. If you live in Butte, Montana, maybe not Butte, Montana, but if you live in a city that has close to 100,000 people, it's going to be playing near you.
Our Butte listeners are going to walk to their theater.
Very specific reference to Butte, Montana. Shut up, Butte.
I just wanted to shut up, Butte. They love you guys.
You, Tiffany Haddish, and correct me if I'm wrong, directorial debut?
Film debut. I directed some Mindy projects.
Congrats.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's crazy. It's really hard to make a movie, and to get people to go into theaters in 2018 is tough, so we're going out on the road and talking to the people.
A White House policy has family members arguing with each other, going against each other over Thanksgiving, which seems very realistic. It's a dark comedy.
Step outside of reality for a second and imagine a politically divided America.
It's crazy, right? Okay? I can't imagine it.
And a president who's obsessed with loyalty. Again, it's hard to imagine these things. And it basically all comes to a head the week of Thanksgiving. So the whole family's at the house, and it's that stressful feeling where you're going to just scream at someone and call them an idiot. And then it turns into this crazy bloody mess, which is pretty thrilling.
Now, I would imagine, again, could be wrong, that this doesn't exactly derive from personal experience. I don't know if you and your family stab each other or, you know, point gun. But, I mean, how much does this, you know, come from personal experience?
It was inspired by a real fight that my family got into after the election, after Thanksgiving, after the 2016 election. We just were screaming at each other. And I woke up the next day, I was like, I think we all voted for the same person. And yet we're like, it's your fault, you piece of shit. And so I was like, if this is happening in this lovely home, what's going on around the country? And so I wanted to kind of take that feeling that I think everyone's feeling, that pressure, and just kind of explode it.
Yeah. It turned out awesome too.
It wasn't a bad, like, I was just doing press with Tiffany Haddish, and like they were like, what was the worst Thanksgiving? And I was like, well, one year I was making my stuffing and I poured room temperature chicken stock and the Pyrex glass shattered. And Tiffany's like, yeah, someone got stabbed in my house and the police came. I was like, okay, that's a better story. We'll just go with that.
I didn't tape the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It was such a shame. Didn't get to watch.
Totally missed out. Missed out on the Cowboys, everything.
I missed the Lions game. It went in overtime, and I had turned the channel already. Meanwhile, there's like sirens in her house.
So you direct your own brother in this movie. Did you get to boss him around a lot?
I did, man. Like, it's like there's no one you love and hate more than your brother.
Right, I know the feeling very well.
And yeah, like, he's my best friend, but we fought like dogs over the years. And so there's scenes in the movie where, like, he's like there's no acting. He's just like, fuck you.
Getting all the anger
just
out.
Just like yelling at me and screaming at me. But it's good. It's good to have that catharsis. And he has to do what I say. So that's, I paid him.
By virtue of being the director. That's true.
That's how it works, man.
A question on personal though, because I'm a big Kimmy Schmidt fan. How handsome is Billy Magnuson in person?
Jesus Christ.
He is just unbelievable.
In real life, he's gorgeous. And in the movie, he's like ugly. He like has this like dirty mustache and he looks unhealthy and it's got like a spiky haircut. He just looks like a fucking the mall security guard from hell. But in real life, you get lost in those green eyes.
One of the things I noted about the movie was that I enjoyed, you kind of got Tiffany Haddish out of the comfort zone she's been in a bunch of movies, and in this role she's more of like a peacemaker and a little bit more of the voice of reason instead of like this hyperbolic over expressive person.
Yeah,
and I like that, and I was curious what it was like directing her from that standpoint and also just co-starring with her in general.
I mean, I really based the part after my own wife, who after the election I was like crazy and I would just constantly be like, did you read this article? Can you believe this? And like one morning it was like 6:30 in the morning and she was like breastfeeding our child and I was like, America is lost, it's over. And she's like, dude, it's 6:30, fucking chill. So like when I talked to Tiff, like I told her like this is like, this woman who's like kind of just trying to keep the family together, and she agrees with her husband but he's driving her crazy, so you're kind of just simmering the whole first half of the movie, and then finally that fuse does blow and we get a taste of that Tiffany you know anger. But she's a dream, man. Like she was really becoming famous at the time. She was just like hosting SNL and doing this, and she showed up like every day and just like worked so hard, and she's amazing.
Yeah, she's blown up. I mean, from
huge
Huge. Her early roles did on Groupon commercials. And she's
I know.
In everything.
She's, I would say, like, it's the smartest move a stand-up's ever had, where they, like, just talk about a product, and then the product's like, oh, do you want to be the face of us? It's like, all from a stand-up bit, she's become, like, a mogul. It's crazy.
We actually, our podcast, we recorded on Sunday, we are begging Jeff Bezos to hand out free Kindles and
Alexa. Please,
Jeff,
so maybe
we're going to get that, too.
Guys, Jeff is a huge fan of mine. He's listening, right? He listens to all my appearances.
Good.
Jeff, if you're listening, give the guys a fucking Kindle, dude. Like, what is that to you? Like, he like tips
right.
doorman Kindles.
The books?
Yes, you gotta buy the books, dude. When he walks into like a hotel and they hold the door, he just hands him a Kindle. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
We are huge fans of Blockers.
Huge.
That's
a good one.
Loved
that was fun and like sweet.
Yeah, that's
it was
the
like it sneaks up on you.
So that's the thing. It got compared a lot, like a female version of Superbad. And obviously, Superbad is like it transcends comedy. And it's so
big. One of the greatest movies ever.
Like, I mean, how much does that mean to you to hear like not only like good movie, but like important comedy, like beyond just being funny?
It's amazing. I told Howard Stern this morning, but like the one thing that like pisses me off about Blockers is how many like good friends of mine were like, "Hey, I finally saw Blockers on my flight." I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm glad that this movie that like almost killed us, you got to have some fun on your flight to Dallas. Go see it in the theater. Yeah, it was, you know, it was one of those things where it was in the works for a while, and the directors, Kay Cannon, who's a good friend of mine, strong, tough lady from Chicago. And we knew that there was this kind of bigger message there of being a good parent and acceptance and stuff. And I think if you could just kind of crowbar in like a positive message and a flurry of penis jokes, I think that's the way you should do it.
Yeah, it was – I mean, we'll butter you up here. I mean, I just – like, I think you guys were incredible. The chemistry – and we'll get to some of that in comedy in a second. But, like, everything was so spot on. And we're just – It was a different level of funny because so many comedies I feel like blend together nowadays.
Yeah,
and this was just it gave you a different twist on things.
Yeah, it really was one of those that I feel like too. It'll just kind of more and more people like once it's on like TNT and HBO, more and more people will see it. But I was really proud of it and really happy with the way it came out. And I'm already getting like shout outs at airports. Which is how I know it used to be like, hey, what's up, Mad TV? And then it was like, hey, fuck you, leave Kenny Powers alone. And now I think it's moving into Blockers. Hopefully the Oath people will be like, oh, you called your brother a cocksucker. Good job.
Cena, your second movie with Cena, correct? After Sisters?
Yeah, Sisters. We only did like a minute in Sisters together, but he's so game, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like, do you want to put it up my ass? Do you want to put it up my ass? You can put it in my dick? What do you guys want to do? We'll do whatever. I'm happy. You want me to spread my asshole apart? Sure, I'll do whatever you want. No problem. Yeah, he's just like a total team player, man. And he's like the strongest guy I've ever
huge.
Met.
Oh, I believe that.
Fucking huge, man. He's so like, he kept saying like, you want to come work with me? You can come to Tampa. I'll fly to the gym. We can work out together. And I kept like making excuses. I was like, my dad's in town. Because I don't want to like go and like put like two puny fucking, you know, plates on a back fucking squat and have John be like, oh, that's cute. A, your form sucks. B, it's really light. And that's a bucket list thing.
He has our favorite line in the movie, the two of you, your exchange. And actually, you and I tweeted about this back and forth. How about that? I asked you if this line was ad-libbed when he walks in the hotel. He says, there's like 20 rooms in here. And you're like,
I fucking died laughing.
That might be my favorite line of the year out of any movie. It is so good.
Hysterics.
And
I forgot
you said
about
you
that
think
line.
It was ad-libbed, but I mean, that line right there.
I feel like it, I can't. I really can't. There was a lot of improv in that movie. There was just God bless Kay. Like I went through Chicago with Kay, and she knew I could improvise, so she let me just kind of run wild. That one I truly can't remember. I'll put it this way: if you liked it, I'll say it was improvised, and I'll take full credit. But if you guys didn't like it, I'd be like, oh no, that was in the script. That was Seth and Evan and Kay. Sorry.
Yeah, the chemistry is really good between you guys. And how important do you think that is in comedy? That a chemistry over writing?
It's. I mean, you need both. You need writing, especially for you know, for the story and stuff. You know, I do think the reason we've, you know, pivoted into so much improv is really kind of the Judd world of you know, it's all about the reaction. And if it's a line that's in the script and you've read it so many times, it's just hard to get that real reaction. So I love the Judd and like guys like Nick Stoller and Kay and Seth and Evan have really kind of been like, hey, no, we have a great cast who can improvise. They're going to shoot the script as written, and then they're going to go ahead and go off script because you just get those like live moments.
And it like what about improv that doesn't work. Because like, I'm not going to name any movies specifically, but there are some times where the improv seems almost obvious.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know, like that almost seems to be disjointed from the script. Like, are there moments where you're like, this isn't working?
And
like,
yeah, especially if you do go in and you don't have a, you know, they always say in an improv scene, what's the game of the scene? Like, what is it about? What is the rhythm? What is the thing? And if you go into a scene, and I've done this as a director on the Mindy Project before, where, you know, like, okay, let's just kind of figure this out for a second. It doesn't really work, and you're kind of improvising blindly. And I think a lot of people can improvise, but if you can improvise in character, on story, then you have a chance of it staying in. But if you're just saying like funny, you know, non sequiturs, they're almost always going to get cut.
Yeah.
So it's just that it's really like trying to like remember who you are and like what you guys are doing and like what objective is here. What's the game?
Shifting gears a little bit here. We want to talk about parody movies.
Oh boy.
Yep.
Parody movies.
I know a couple of those.
Meet the Spartans, disaster movie.
Yes. And,
well, actually, you were in Disaster Artist yourself, right? I almost did say Disaster Artist.
I was in Disaster Artist for like 10.
Yeah, but I was making sure like I'm not missing the movie you're in. I was like,
I'm in all the
like,
disasters.
Oh, really?
I'm in all the disasters.
They're so different. Like, has the ship sailed on these? Like, it was a weird time of just it so was, many of these
it
movies.
Was just, it was such a weird time. It was like Bush was still president, you know what I mean?
The Dyson Airblade didn't come out yet.
There was no Dyson. There was no fucking Dyson. And I feel like they were just kind of like descendants of Scary Movie, which I thought was like a great movie. The original Scary Movie was super funny. And these guys are really nice guys, you know. And I think they got a shot with Meet the Spartans. And it kind of like overperformed. Like, I remember it came in first in the box office that week.
I was there opening weekend. I'm pretty sure.
Really?
That was one of the first movies I saw, like, rated R, I think, by myself.
Oh, my God. That was crazy. There. It's so funny. I when I met Tiffany for the first time, when she was, after she read The Oath, I was like, it's so great to finally meet you. She's like, we were in Meet the Spartans together in 2006. You don't remember that shit.
Oh, man.
And
you
big like,
time.
Oh, boy. I forgot about that. But, you know, and then they did a couple, and the reality is they're super nice guys, and I kind of looked at that as kind of like kids movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like doing like a dirty kids movie. And at the time I was an actor who was like, oh, you want to hire me? Oh, that's funny because I need to buy an engagement ring for my wife. That's funny how that turns out. But those are super nice guys, and I still get like, you know, young kids who'll be like, I saw that with my first movie, or like, one of the first movies I've seen. And I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
But it's, I hope to not do any more impressions of other people in movies just because I'm old.
I think one of the things we actually liked most about the movie was the Dane Cook impression, because we talked about Dane Cook a weird amount, I think, for our podcast probably.
Well, there's a big Boston tip to the Barstool, right?
Yeah.
You guys, and he's Mr. Boston, he's Mr. Sports, but Dane's out there, man. You drive, if you go down Sunset in LA, you'll see big billboards. He's doing stand-up and crushing it, and he's still out there. But I remember doing his impression on Mad TV, and I remember Bobby Lee introducing me to him like a couple weeks later, and I don't think Dane was like loving it. I think he was like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, hey, nice to meet you, man. But I'll tell you, I remember when I first saw him at a place called Dublin's in LA, and it was you felt like you were watching like fucking like David Bowie in like 19, like he came on stage and people were just like, their heads exploded.
Huge arenas, like, it was insane.
Arenas, and just like, and even pre-arena, before he was like Dane, he was just like, he owned the LA comedy scene. It was such an interesting moment.
Yeah. To shift gears again, can you confirm that your character Griggs is going to return to Suicide Squad 2?
I can't confirm it, only because there's been, by my count, like three different directors that have come on board for the sequel. But I will say, out of all of them, the one that excited me the most was James Gunn.
Because James Gunn, awesome. That's the next question.
Yeah, dude.
Would you be excited to work with James Gunn?
I had not a lot of interest in doing Suicide Squad 2, just a small part, and I didn't. But like, James Gunn, I think, is such a genius. Mm-hmm. I would do anything that guy's doing. I love those Guardians of the Galaxy.
So good.
They're so good. And it's like so singularly from his mind. I know it's a, you know, an existing IP and cartoon and stuff, but like, when I heard they were making that movie, because I've read the cartoon or the comic, I was like, oh, that's going to be a bomb. Like,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Too weird. It's too fucking weird. And he managed to make it super accessible and funny and like violent and like crisp. Like, those, I thought in Avengers Infinity War, the best characters in the movie were Chris and Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Like every line they had, yeah. I was like, it's hilarious.
And that's because Gunn was on board with them to help write their roles.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I thought what happened to him was shitty. And I think, you know, it would be very cool if he, regardless of my participation, it's like I think the best case scenario for Suicide Squad 2.
You mean you said you're part was small. Obviously, you weren't playing like the Joker or anybody, where the pressure is like
right.
Insane. But even so, like you were still in a comic book movie, and right now, like just with social media and how like toxic DC versus Marvel gets, like
yeah.
Is there like even for you, like in a smaller role, a little bit of pressure and like you feel it because it's a different type of movie?
No, I mean, honestly, no. I mean, like, look, if all of a sudden they were like, "Hey, can you be Galactus in the new?" Yeah. You know, then it's like, okay, that's a whole thing, but like. Especially for that part in Suicide Squad, like I talked to the director, he's like, "Hey, you're just this horrible ex-military scumbag racist." And so, I mean, I took it seriously, and we had like a crazy rehearsal part, but I had like compared to like this what I'm promoting now, which is like an independent film that like yeah. I like directed, yeah. it's like literally zero pressure.
Okay, so we're noting it. You're going to be playing Galactus.
Yep. Noting it right now. I mean, checking off exclusive.
Yeah, go ahead, go for it. Yeah, I can okay that.
We want to end on one thing. We've been ending on this with most people we talk to, and I kind of want to tie into comedy. Comedy, as you obviously know, most subjective genre for the most part.
100 million percent.
I mean.
It's
like,
funny to one person is not necessarily.
You talked about a text group when you're coming in here. Like my text group when we see comedies, it's like completely different.
House divided always.
You laughed at that? That's not fucking funny, but it's like.
It's hard though. Just like it's so evocative and individual that, you know, it's something that you think is like to me, the funniest line in Blockers, I promise you, is the least funny line. It's like if you remember, like after we go to Cena's house and his wife catches us, there's like 5 seconds of me sipping coffee and I'm like. Is this really soy creamer? Because it's pretty friggin' rich. And it's,
this, yep,
it's such
that,
a
yep.
dumb throwaway line, but it's like hands down my favorite line. So yes, I agree. It's very subjective.
And like you've been in so many different comedies too. Like Neighbors is different than Blockers.
Yeah.
Blockers is different than your new movie, The Oath.
Yeah,
it's a dark comedy.
Yes.
Like are there moments where you're worried something may not work, or do you just know that comedies are so different that there will be an audience for the most part, no matter what you make?
I think you have to trust yourself and trust your kind of instincts and stuff. And there's certain things in The Oath that I knew would kind of universally hit, like the dad not being able to use the remote control. Mm-hmm. And then there's just some things that I know that like some people would be like, I think that's much more scary than it is funny. But I think you just have to kind of trust your instincts. And you know, I've been at enough rodeos where I'm very certain of my, you know, comedic POV, and I don't really, you know, compromise on that a whole lot if I don't have to. So I think you just kind of have to trust yourself. To quote Drake, know yourself.
Nice.
And Rotten Tomatoes, does it bother you? Does it affect you? Like Blockers, for example, pretty good Rotten Tomatoes score, but then some others may not. Like again, comedy, it's tough on Rotten.
Here's what I'll say about Rotten Tomatoes: is first of all, when it's working for you, you're like, it's great, it's a foolproof system, and when it's not, it's like it's a bit of a mind fuck. Especially, I'll put in context of The Oath, where we're making this movie, right? And the producer before we made it, he's like, you're gonna have some critics just fucking destroy you. And I was like, why? He's like, dude, you made this movie, it's about politics and a family, you fucking rip on conservatives, you rip on liberals, like you're gonna piss everyone off. And I was like, no, it's gonna be fine, right? But I started thinking about it, okay, maybe, so I kind of prepared for that. And then like the first block of like 15 reviews came out, and it was great, and I was like, oh, I think we cracked the code. And then as the producer Sean was totally right, critics come in with some critics like I don't think that it was right that they made fun of conservatives, and other critics like, why would they portray the liberals as a huge pussy? And so what I recommend to all filmmakers is don't even look at it until the movie comes out. Look, read reviews when the movie's out,
yeah.
And it's done, then you can like have some growth and learn, and you'll take, you know, there's good reviews, bad reviews, but while you're in it, while you're promoting it, like just like honestly don't even pay attention to that and wait till it's done for like a post-mortem type of thing. Yeah.
Well, everyone go see The Oath.
I promise you guys, like, there's a lot of shit out there to see. And I mean, like, good stuff like Star is Born and Venom and shit. But you will not see a movie like this in the theaters. And it's the perfect movie to see in the theaters because you get a laugh and you get scared. And those are the two sensations that I like to have a collective experience with.
Is there an Eminem rap in The Oath? I didn't hear it. When I listen,
is there an Eminem rap?
I didn't hear it.
There is, but you have to stay for the very end.
It's like
Nick Fury, but instead of Nick Fury coming out at the very end, it's Eminem. And he does a short like verse, but it's pretty great, and people are really happy with the Eminem.
Well,
verse.
The Oath is out nationwide. Except I did just look up. AMC Classic in Butte, Montana. It is not showing.
It's not?
No.
You liar.
You may need to. You're going to have to. We'll call him up.
Guys, if I could just take a minute and apologize to the listeners in Butte, my bad. So just drive to Wyoming.
Just drive, yeah.
Drive to Clifton, Wyoming. It's playing at the City Center.
Well, thank you. We're big fans, and we had a
you
good
guys,
time talking.
Thank you guys so much, man. I appreciate,
yeah, appreciate it.
All right, we're back. We have to review First Man. But first up, one more ad read.
This is for LinkedIn.
I'm sorry, you shouldn't laugh at your spot. Apparently someone had a really bad ad read yesterday during Evening Yak. I won't call them out or what the ad was, but apparently Big Cat on Air went, oh, fuck, that wasn't good. So we're not laughing at LinkedIn, but the idea of like promoting LinkedIn is funny to me because you're promoting yourself on LinkedIn.
Yeah, but this is actually for job posters. So this is for the businesses and not for the employees. But again, thank you for the Gorillas for making a song just for our LinkedIn ad read. We appreciate it.
Oh,
here is LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. You need to post a job after a layoff. You caught Jim from marketing pounding off. Wanna hire someone that will at least try not to jerk off between 9 and 5. LinkedIn.com is the site for you to find the right employee to fill out your crew. They're easily the best and it's not even fair. 70% of the workforce is already there. LinkedIn.com/lights. You could save some cash, that's right. $50 off your first post. Search candidates from coast to coast. LinkedIn.com/lights. You could save some cash, that's right. $50 off your first post. Search candidates from coast.
HR marketing. Fill those spots with LinkedIn. Executor, executives, anyone accredited. Don't hire someone that will fuck your wife. I can't guarantee it, but they'll probably be nice. Watch me as I synergize. Ha 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 ha. 10 years ago, we had hope. We had jobs. We had cash. Now we're dragging. No whiplash, but you can post your job on LinkedIn. There is qualified employees. I can promise you'll enjoy these. LinkedIn.com/lights. Ha 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 ha.
Thanks, LinkedIn. All right. We don't have time. Just a thanks. First Man. I'm not even going to say spoiler review. It's a fucking true story.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
which has made it very tough for me from the get-go.
No.
Okay. That's very... I need you to meet my one friend who only loves true stories because you guys are like...
I don't dislike true stories, but when I know it's a happy ending, I can do a true story with a sad ending. When I knew a true story with a happy ending, I'm less inclined. Only, I mean, Miracle, I cry every time, but that's about it. Anything aside from that, I'm kind of like, well, I know how this ends, and it's all good.
That's fair. Yeah. So, First Man, I gave it, I actually bumped it up. I gave it a 92.
Woo!
I really liked First Man, especially on the second watch. It's fucking insane in IMAX. It's an incredible IMAX movie. The screen expands at the pivotal part of the movie. It's shot in like... Somebody said like it's shot in 35 or whatever it is millimeter. It's really grainy. You can see how grainy it is.
Makes it look authentic.
Someone said it's like it could even be in a lower grade than that. It's great. It's cool how he does, and we'll get more into that in a second. But I did like it 92 out of 100. And I'll get into my problems in a second. Trill Ballins, what'd you give it?
Oh gosh, I won't be reading replies to this. I actually gave it an 80.
An 80?
Okay.
I gave it an 80.
I'm gonna be with Trill. I was gonna say 78.
Look, so very good movie. It's a good movie. It maybe is overly ambitious. And let me just lay out my thoughts on this. On paper, this sounds like a fantastic story. I can totally understand reading the biography of Neil Armstrong and this mission and being like, that would make a great movie. But then you start making the movie and you realize that like none of it is really all that interesting. And I have a lot of respect for astronauts and the man's and the mission. But the most interesting parts of these movies were like the exterior flight shots and the space landing scenes, and anything else, I don't think really, it just didn't entertain me all that much. Now, 80s still good. I keep saying now, also a product of our own hype a little bit. I was somewhat disappointed in it. That's my justification for it. If I don't want to take points off for ambition, but it just felt like it was kind of boring. It was also very ambitious and very, I keep saying that word. So you see, I can't come straight into a podcast.
It's very hard.
It's an ambitious move to try to come straight into a podcast.
I did say Ark Barinholtz, so
it's exhilarating at times. It is like wonderfully shot. It's beautiful, but at the same time, the movie at parts is boring. So I thought it was a very good movie. I would rather watch A Star Is Born than this movie,
for sure.
And I thought like in terms of like rating it that to that, like this, you know, is going to get noms for acting and directing and all the prestige awards. But in terms of being a fun movie, it wasn't intended to be a fun movie.
No,
but I also like it didn't capture me the way I wanted it to. So here I am defending myself like the most I've ever defended myself on this podcast, by the way, because normally I'm like, I don't have a real rating scale, 95.
Well, fine, I'll let you go next, Vice, because you said 78.
78 right? For me. Cause and actually, now that I was listening to Trills, I kind of want to bump it down. Because
you have the confidence now.
Because the parts that Trill found most interesting to keep it at around an 80 are the parts I don't care about. I don't give a shit about technical movies. I can't tell the difference. I don't know what the fuck a 35mm film is. I mean, I know it's a grainy shot. I know it's the old shot. I know it's fucking, what's his dick? Tarantino just did Hateful Eight.
And he filmed him like on a fucking Razor flip phone.
Yeah. And like, that's all fine. But like, especially the space landings, again, I know what's coming. So yeah. I get bored. I'm bored by the 20 minutes it took to land on the moon. I don't fucking care about that. It's got the red lights flashing, and I'm like, yeah, dude, I know. You got 2% gas left. You're going to fucking land. I know how this happens. So I actually found myself kind of taking my phone out for that, where I'm like, I don't really care about how this shot, like how the moon landing worked here. I care about the personal stories more than other things, and I didn't think there was.
Which we'll get to that. That's definitely one of the biggest hangups of the movie.
What was that?
The lack of like a real, real personal connect. Like, because there was a lot laid out there personally, but. Okay, we'll get into it, but you can finish your thought.
It was the one word I used to describe this movie is it's a very clinical movie. It is very sterile. I think sometimes in a good way, because that's how I think of astronauts, and so the whole tone in the movie is very probably like how that whole profession is. But in terms of being a movie, I wasn't all that entertained.
That's what I heard. Neil Armstrong's character was very much like that, where he's kind of just
they didn't ham it up
methodical and all that. And again, it's cool to stay true to form, but also I don't really care about watching a boring guy.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Ken Jack, thoughts?
I gave it a 90 out of 100. I think it sort of set out what it was supposed to do, and being more of like a almost like Charles saying, like a clinical biopic. It wasn't supposed to be like an overly dramatic biographical drama. I don't think they were going for something like Walk the Line or something like that, where they overly dramatized everything about his life. They were just trying to show the real human story behind it, which is, and I think people would have been more mad if they super dramatized everything about Neil Armstrong and made him seem like something he wasn't than they would be as they are now about like, oh, the fucking flag wasn't there, bro. The fucking flag didn't get planted.
Which it definitely was.
It was most certainly planted.
It was a super fucking patriotic movie.
And that's what it comes down to is like I do think they set out what Chazelle went out to do, which is to make it a technical masterpiece, which is what it was. And sound, especially in IMAX, the sound and the visuals, everything is absolutely insane. And to that, like you really, I can't put it any lower than that. But it's just not gripping.
But
like,
when someone pitches stuff like that, like the technical aspects of it, how many people? Like, I mean, you guys are experienced movie goers and movie reviewers. How many people in the real world come out and are like, God, the sound in that was Dunkirk. Amazing.
Yeah,
I saw Dunkirk. I thought it was
This is very
right? As a comparison that we go to.
Dunkirk is a great comparison to this
movie.
It
was fine, but Dunkirk was Dunkirk I thought was cool because they at least had something unique to it where it was like the three storylines at the same time.
Yes.
I found that to be at least
mildly
entertaining
Dunkirk.
And like keeping me hooked in. This I kept being like, someone show some fucking emotion here. This is like, there's no emotion in the movie at all.
Yeah, Claire Foy's probably the only person that shows emotion.
She has like a brief snap.
She's the best part of the movie.
By
she
far,
is, 100%.
By far.
I would have loved more Claire Foy, and I love my fucking guy. They had two guys in this movie
who were
my guys. No. I'm never going to forget Kyle Chandler's name. Jason Clark. I love Jason Clark.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Our Aussie
and
friend.
They had that other guy who...
Corey Stoll.
Is he the bad guy in The Punisher?
Punisher, but Ant-Man for sure.
I think he's the bad guy in Punisher.
Bald
too.
Guy? He's in House of Cards.
He's in House of Cards. He's in the first season.
No, that's not who I'm thinking about. That
not Corey Stoll.
No, hang on. I'm
Who's
sorry.
In the Punisher? Well, yeah. So Corey Stoll plays Buzz Aldrin, which I didn't realize at first. And what a fucking douchebag Buzz Aldrin
he's an
is
asshole.
This movie.
He's
so
a
here
big.
You go.
But he like Buzz Aldrin's most famous moment aside from being on the moon was like punching the guy in the face.
Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin has an interesting movie history now, and I teased this earlier because Buzz Aldrin, the man, was in Transformers. Dark of the Moon, I believe, is the one he was
Dark
in.
Dark Side of the Moon?
And I think it was just Dark of the Moon.
Was it really?
Dark Side of the Moon is the Led Zeppelin album, right?
Yeah, I always thought that's what they
or
called
Pink
it, though.
Floyd?
I thought that was
oh,
like,
I
the
fucked
Transformers
that one up.
On the other side.
I got that wrong just now. Some music fans are going to get really mad at me. But yeah, what they do is they shut off the Apollo mission. They shut off the cameras, and then they hop to the other side of the moon where there's a Transformer. So there is this movie by Damien Chazelle, which is... like, beat for beat, a true story where the family helped him out and loved the movie. Buzz Aldrin's in it. And then Buzz Aldrin's movie about space that he was in himself is about fucking Transformers. And it basically makes it an embarrassment of the... because we talked about how Transformers, like, fucks up King Arthur. And it's just like, oh, robots are on the round table. And now it's like... Buzz Aldrin's character was just like, I was in the moon with a bunch of robots. So then... The Armstrong side of it, which does lend to the idea, which you said, Trill, like, the Armstrong side of it is the true story, and, like, they don't cut corners with it. And, like, I think that's maybe what makes it boring. Like, he's just... Neil Armstrong's just a stoic guy. And Ryan Gosling, and I'm not the only one to note this, and this is, I guess, probably not even an original thought, is that Ryan Gosling's roles, a lot of them, he is... This is how he plays. He doesn't. He doesn't talk a ton in his role. Like he's a very physical performer in terms of like emotion and stoic. And that's what I guess Neil Armstrong was. And that's why I think some people might have found it boring.
You're right.
And that's fine. Again, I commend people who stick to true to the story and don't over exaggerate and stuff like that. But just maybe get halfway through the script and go, hey, you know what? This isn't really a movie.
It's like a scrapbook. It's like a Neil Armstrong scrapbook, basically. Over the span of like 20 years.
He was funny. I'll give him he was funny. I don't know if he was trying to be funny, but he was funny when Buzz is talking about bringing his wife's jewelry up there and Neil's like, I'd prefer gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was more funny. I don't know if could just be being so pragmatic that like, yeah,
he's like the Bill Boston reference. Bill Belichick of astronauts.
Yeah. You know how like some movies you understand how people could rate it in between like a 70 and 100? This is like one of those movies. Like I cannot argue against like what you rate it, Jeff, because I realize my own faults as a appreciator of cinema when I'm watching this movie and I'm thinking, God, like I don't think I have the right tool set to properly appreciate this. So I have to revert back to just being a dumbass regular person and just like how am I enjoying it as a movie.
That's,
it was good.
That's
it was
how good. I am movie. With Mad Max, where I talk about Mad Max all the time.
You and I have never gone to blows on this before.
It's the technical masterpiece of it and all this shit.
I disagree with that, though, because it was an action movie.
Yeah, but it was like with First Man, I need the personal connection to a movie. And that's why I'll take Fast and Furious over Mad Max, because they sell the family and they sell emotion and shit like that.
I do get it with you with Mad Max, though, because like that story, I do know some people don't like that story. It's a weird – it is – different.
It's like an hour and a half car chase.
Yeah, and so like if you don't love the technical aspect of that either, then I can see definitely not loving it.
Despise
like,
it.
But like so that's like so for me, Trill, when you bring that up, I was like awestruck by the technical aspect.
Yeah,
like
me too.
I just it's when they expand the fucking screen when the door opens up on the lander, it's just like, oh my God.
Yep.
There was actually somebody in the theater in front of me who kind of covered their face and I could hear them whisper like oh that space freaks me out. Like that's how like crazy real it was and like it's just so dark and like the sound I just love that technical aspect. And the funny thing is, I like Gravity. I don't love Gravity. And Gravity was incredible in that sense. But I just didn't connect with Gravity, and like I don't know if I.
And that's a way more compelling story.
See, yeah. I liked Gravity. I liked the space aspect of Gravity, and because it did have a very compelling story. It's just,
yeah. But see, the story there turned me off, which is like I just didn't love
because George Clooney died, and he's his boy from Ocean's 11.
Ah,
and immediately he just hated it.
He's literally
doing my sweatshirt.
By the
way, that's how fucking
he is
stupid
on
I am.
My
I, was like, he got it back. Hell yeah,
he's alive. He's actually on my sweatshirt right now. No, I just didn't love the story, but like this one. The story for me, and like this was teased as not being a straight biopic. Do you remember that? We talked about that.
It's supposed to be more biographical drama.
That was a letdown.
That,
and I didn't lower the grade because of being a letdown, just because I didn't get, you don't get the personal connection. It's hard to explain. Like usually I can put it into words, but there was just something missing. Like something was missing there, like connecting with Armstrong Churchill. Maybe it was you don't spend a lot of time in each, like it jumps around a lot. You spent a lot of years in that amount of time. Yeah. And like, maybe that's what it is, and like it wants you to connect with the fact that his daughter dies.
Yeah,
and again,
that was like their big thing.
Not
like
a spoiler,
it's never
true fucking story.
And it happens in the first.
And there's
two
some
minutes.
Emotion, yeah. And even the emotion after. Again, this is a movie you don't know what happens in Apollo 1. This movie's gonna blow your fucking mind. Apollo 1. Like that part is very emotional and horrifying for him. And like his wife talks about in the scene where I think she mentions Purdue. Claire Foy's character mentions like how many funerals they've been to, and I feel like that all was there where that could have been the personal connection, but it's talked about.
It's 100%. If I could rewrite one scene in this movie, it would be when Neil Armstrong's wife goes out to Jason Clark's wife, and she's just standing outside the car, and they kind of peek into the window, and the kid's staring out. Go in the house with her and see what it's doing to this family, so it becomes very, very real to you and to the audience.
You're right. It's like stop short. It stops short at a bunch of parts where I feel like that's where you go to have the emotional connection, and I get what he's trying to do. And like, I think Damien Chazelle achieved everything he was trying to do here.
Yeah,
but I don't want to say the vision's off because I think he's a fucking incredible filmmaker. Like, I love La La Land. And Whiplash is, I think, one of the best movies I've seen in the last 10 years. Like, Whiplash is so fucking good, and this is good too. But I just think there was an element missing here that was in the other two, and I think. Guys, I think we're geniuses. I think we boiled it down. I think it just the parts where the emotion should have been, it just stopped. Like you're right. I think the car one's a great example. When she goes over and sees the widow, and you don't see anything else with that scene, you're like, but I don't get the gravity of the moment because you do understand like the struggle of space and being an astronaut for more than just the astronaut, like the family as well. But like you don't get it enough. The most emotional scene there in the movie was when he's telling his kids. That he may never come back. That was probably the most like not. I don't. It may
and even
not
then,
be
it wasn't like backbreaking emotional.
No, yeah, like
no.
That was
like
the
technical.
Most in depth. Like they went into an emotional moment.
It would be the car scene for me, and it would be when he finds out that Jason Clark's character and they all died.
Yeah,
and again, they kind of show you where it's like he squeezes the glass,
still
cuts
quick.
His hand, but like go home, and he probably tears apart that of like the hotel room or whatever, and he's probably freaking out. Like that must have happened in real life. You can still stay true to what happened and show how much this fuck like going to a whole new world fucks with somebody.
And even then, still, you can just embellish. Like, I don't think they could have embellished to a degree where it wouldn't have been disrespectful to Armstrong or any of the astronauts whatsoever and still made for a more compelling story, and Chazelle just didn't want to do that, which I respect to a degree. It just didn't make for a compelling film as far as, like, how I personally connected to it. But at the same time, still made it technical and absolutely just visually masterful.
I did appreciate learning how to pronounce Gemini, though, because I've been
I still don't think it's pronounced Gemini.
I don't think it's pronounced Gemini.
It blew my mind.
Yeah, I was like, at first I raised my hands, like, no, you said it wrong. You said it wrong, dude.
There were also like other parts of the movie that there were scenes they alluded to that I was like, wow, that would be a more interesting movie. Like the protests against the funding for the project, which I didn't, know all that much about. But going back to it, this is what Chazelle set out to do. And I think they did it. I think this is about as good as you can do a movie on this subject without Hollywooding it up or whatever word you want to attach to it. And it's perfectly, it's perfect from the standpoint of, the cinematography and the sound and everything like that. But just as one long narrative, it didn't move the needle for me to bring back an LCP cliche.
I think the Apollo 11 launch should have been the main one because it did Gemini 8, which was like their big launch sequence. That's the one they like built up the entire movie. Like his first flight.
That disappointed me.
And that I thought that one was good. And then Apollo 11 was just like they just were going through the motions of it almost. And I'm like, that's the big fucking thing.
That should
be the one.
But again, though, see, that's maybe where you fail to have that personal connection because like that's his first one. That's his first launch with any of the with Project
Gemini.
Yeah,
well, that's what I feel like. I think that was a bigger one.
But, like, maybe that's why they made it the bigger one, but I feel like the one that we want to care about more is Octopus. Plus, like, I understand, like, again, it's kind of a back and forth there. I didn't hate it. I fucking loved it. But, like, the difference between it being, like, if there had been more of an emotional, like, connection there, I mean, that's a 97, 98. I mean, that's very high, but that's where, you know, it kind of lost me. But I still love that some of the technical stuff. When Gemini 8, when they're spinning around, my God, sound, and like it's disorienting as a viewer, and you're like, okay, I get the picture there. I don't want to be in space, but I get the picture there. I'll go ride Mission Space in Disney.
It was surprising how, like, non-modern the rocket ships were.
Yeah.
I saw they were getting in that first one for what flight
Gemini
was it?
8.
Well, Gemini 8. Oh, yeah. And I was like, dude, you're going to go to space in that?
Yep.
Like, I'd get up there. No.
The
no,
hand
guys.
Crank for Apollo 1. Yeah. It's like a tool you get in your stocking.
You get more advanced computer systems today on the Lego Technic set than they were using back in the day.
It's he had like charts. Amazing. He had actual charts up there,
like,
with him.
A fucking Pokédex had like more memory in it than all the Apollo crew had. Like, it's insane.
So Ken Jack gave it a 90. I gave it a 92. Fights gave it a 78, though. 75?
I was going to go 76. I was going to bump it down.
Okay.
I actually, you know what? 76 was my first one, and then Trill said 80, and I said I'll meet him halfway, but then I realized I didn't care about the technical stuff, so we're back to 76.
Okay, 76, and then our audience gave it an 89. Gave it an 89. So, yeah, that was First Man. All right, so First Man, space movie. Very much a space movie. So let's rank the top 10 space movies. I don't know what's going to happen here. There's a lot of hijinks potential here, I feel like.
He sees me and Trill like sharing looks. I don't know what he thinks is happening now, but there's nothing wrong with going on.
I was going to do hijinks, but I was running late and I didn't emotionally prepare to do anything. So I went with my regular list.
Yeah, all right. You fucked me there, but all right. It's whatever.
No.
I don't have any hijinks. I have some controversial takes.
All right. You kind of planned it. How hard could it have been?
You went ahead and started recording without me.
You literally just need an IMDb list. That's all you needed to do.
Whole timeline.
All right. We're going to get into this later.
All right, here we go. Best space movies. Trill, you have to start off.
You fucked me.
10 through 6. 10 through 6, and then we'll go one by one.
All right, 10 through 6. WALL-E, The Martian, Arrival, Armageddon, Starship Troopers, and that's it.
Starship Troopers is a great one. I think Starship Troopers first boobs I ever saw.
Yeah, they were talking about this actually on PMT yesterday, I think.
Were they really?
Yeah, literally yesterday.
That's wild.
Arrival's kind of cheating, because I think it's mostly set on Earth, but I think most of the
You can count
it as
space feels extraterrestrial.
It feels enough like space, right, to include it.
I didn't like Arrival very much.
Me neither. Didn't care for it.
WALL-E, I thought you fucking hated WALL-E.
I thought that too for some reason.
No, I wasn't the WALL-E hater.
Maybe
that's Coley? Find audio of me hating WALL-E. I think Coley definitely hated WALL-E.
Yeah, I think Coley hated that and Up. That was two big ones he didn't like.
No, I'm a big WALL-E guy.
Okay.
WALL-E.
So Trill Ballin's WALL-E, The Martian, Arrival, Armageddon, Starship Troopers. My prediction was Starship Troopers would be top 5 for you if you weren't doing hijinks.
You fucked up.
No, you fucked me.
Oh. That came off weird.
No, it came off exactly as I pretended.
10 through 6 for me, Starship Troopers. I'm glad you put Arrival, because Arrival, it's as Earth-based as Planet of the Apes is, which is my number 9.
Oh.
I put the original, not the Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes.
No, of course not. The Peter Chernin.
Yep, that's right.
Wait. Oh, no, I still meant Planet of the Apes, the original one. Yeah, Planet of the Apes.
Peter Chernin.
Charlton Heston. Okay.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, number 8. Star Wars, number 7, the original, and WALL-E, number 6. Ken Jack.
Can't believe you didn't have Hidden Figures on there. I'm just saying, another Chernin movie that should have been on there.
Oh, yeah, huh? Hidden Figures, too good to make the list. Shout out Peter Chernin.
All right. My number 10 is Gambit. You don't know it for sure yet, but Simon Kinberg said that he was planning a space scene. They have a space scene that he wants to do. He's just trying to plan it. Number 9, A Star is Born. Number 8, Office Space. Number 7, Murder on the Orient Express. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that's where the movie that inspired Drops of Jupiter. Beetlejuice, number 6.
Wait,
and
what's
that's my
list. Why is Beetlejuice space?
Beetlejuice is a star.
Okay.
And they also takes place a little bit on Saturn, I think.
That was pretty funny.
Maybe Jupiter.
I didn't laugh out loud,
There's more to come.
I didn't laugh out loud at that, but in my head, I laughed out loud.
The train joke, I think, was the best one. I mean, but I don't know if you guys connected immediately.
Remember when I told you we were doing this yesterday, Fights, the top 10 stand? I said, just get creative. You can get creative. Okay, here we go. What's your 10 through 6?
I only got creative on my number 1, although I have one here that... Okay, we'll just go.
Well, yeah, just your 10 through 6, and then we'll come back for top 5.
10, Gravity. 9, The Abyss, which I don't think was a fucking space movie, but I don't care because I remember it as a space movie. I know they're going deep underwater, but they're fucking where they're like aliens down there. There's... The Abyss is a dope-ass movie. 6. Nope. Wait. 8. Life. Wildly underrated. I think Life is so awesome. I've seen Life like 4 times. Life was so great.
It's a randomly really good cast.
Right. Well, you know what that was? It was... Ryan Reynolds was supposed to play Gyllenhaal, and
might have made it better Gyllenhaal actually.
And then Gyllenhaal came on. I guess he like wavered at first. He came on, and then Reynolds was like, "I still like really want to do this
movie."
Remember,
people got obsessed with
that. So I'll just do it for a couple bucks.
They're like, "Is that an alien movie? Is that what they said?"
They didn't like
or no Venom. They thought it was a prequel to Venom.
Venom. That's what it was. Yeah.
It was not.
Then The Martian and Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks.
I like
movie.
The Mars Attacks.
Love Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks is a really good pick, and I'm kind of bummed I didn't put it on my list now. Audience 10 through 6, Office Space, number 10.
Oh, I mean, they read my mind.
Yeah.
That was my number 8.
By the way, somebody spam voted La La Land because they're technically in the stars at one point, but it was clearly a spam vote, so it got eliminated.
City of Stars?
The guy who spam voted it, too, we made peace on Reddit. He put on Reddit, he goes, technically La La Land's a space movie, dot, dot, dot. And then 10 minutes later, La La Land had 50 votes. I'm like, yeah. And I replied, I'm like, are you spam voting La La Land right now? And he was still doing it. He's like, yeah, maybe. I'm deleting it now. I did like, the admittance of it was very funny, though. Number 9, Spaceballs.
Good movie.
Spaceballs, Pizza the Hut.
Mel Brooks classic.
Yeah. The Martian, number 8. Star Wars, number 7. 2001 A Space Odyssey, number 6. I don't love 2001 A Space
Odyssey. I don't like any of them much either.
We hate movies for olds. We don't like them.
They're the worst.
They're not good.
I have zero movies for olds.
Could you imagine being somebody who says like one of the older A Star is Born is better than like, I like the original. Like, okay.
Go buy War Bonds, ugly.
Trill, number 5.
Number 5 for me is Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
My boy.
Alan Rickman.
More power, Tim Allen.
This was
actually a very clever movie.
It was. I've heard that. I've never seen it, but I've heard that. Like people seem to really like it.
Yeah, well, if you've seen it as a kid, watch it again as an adult because it's very funny. It's got a lot of heart, and I wouldn't say it's a takedown of the Star Trek. I don't want to call it genre, but it's like a
they make fun of like the Comic-Con shit. That's sort of what they're going after.
Yeah, like it's like a deconstructive homage sorts.
Wow. Like shut that? Up.
Yeah. Like what's on your pick. List? Gene like... Jack Aaron.
I like that.
Fuck you.
Is that a One Piece? Yeah, it's connected.
Oh, yeah, it's connected.
What? It's not a bad look.
Hey, this is a strong
We're in a fucking like trucker hat. Shut up, Tro.
It looks good on him. Von Dutch trucker hat.
Did you wear the trucker hat when you were on the path on the way here? Fights didn't know you lived in Hoboken, by the way. Crazy. He didn't know you lived so close. So.
Oh, yes, the path. I was like, what the fuck is the path? I don't know. I Uber everywhere.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. My number 5.
That's our sign-off song tonight. Uber everywhere.
My number 5 is Moon with Sam Rockwell. I love Moon. I can't spoil it. I really can't talk much about it. It's a very, like, deep movie. Awesome movie. Sam Rockwell's one of my favorite actors. I highly suggest people see Moon if you haven't seen Moon. Moon is awesome. And it's set on the moon. You should see Moon. You would fucking love
Moon. And Galaxy Quest on the list.
You'll love both of them, guaranteed. Ken Jack, number 5.
We were just talking about Jake Gyllenhaal. I have Zodiac on my list. Second movie part of the Robert Downey Jr. Renaissance. So, good movie.
What was the first one?
Iron Man.
That was the first one?
Yeah, you could say that, or what's the one? The Soloist? You could say like one of those
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I would say his Renaissance was Iron Man.
Yeah, that's like the one.
What about Ally McBeal?
That was before.
Yeah, that was before?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ, I'm fucking old.
I remember like seeing that as a kid. And I think my mom had like a big reaction to it. So I assume that was coming back in my memory, but I guess not.
No, yeah, I'd say Iron Man. What's your number 5?
Spaceballs.
Ooh, okay.
Loved Spaceballs as a kid.
Spaceballs is fucking... Some people hate Spaceballs. People say it's Mel Brooks' first bad movie.
Oh, fuck off.
But then I think it's whatever the one... It was either the one after that was the worst. Actually, Jim Norton on his old radio show got into a huge argument about it. And I talked to Jim Norton very briefly about George Lucas because he says George... He hates George Lucas. He says George Lucas in his fucking weak chin. And it's like one of my favorite burns of all... Like, just... Yeah, love that. Number five for the audience, Deep Impact.
Oh,
number five. That was a surprise fake slip
Armageddon.
In there.
I was going to say, that the problem with that is it came out right with Armageddon.
Yeah.
It kind of got
that was like Olympus Has Fallen and White House Down coming out at the same time.
And Just Friends and Friends with Benefits.
Yep, exactly.
Same.
Yeah.
Armageddon is number 12 on their list, too.
I expect that to be way higher. Yeah. No Harry Stamper fans in here.
Because guess what? It's way higher for me.
I believe that. Trill Ballins, number four.
Number four on my list. Wouldn't you know it? It's Gravity.
Oh, wow.
Right. Alfonso Cuarón, I got roasted on our Reddit. I'll let you explain in a second, but I got roasted on our Reddit because I don't like the third Harry Potter, and he did that one. And I said, I don't like Gravity. And someone's like, wow, it seems as though you don't like Alfonso Cuarón. It's like, no, I didn't say that. I just
don't like two of his movies.
Just don't love Gravity.
I don't like every George Lucas movie that isn't one of the first three Star Wars.
Love Red Tails. Trill, why'd you pick Gravity?
Well, it's got the technical aspect like we touched on in the first Man review, and then it's got the sappy emotional aspect that I need in order to feel like a human.
I love the landing.
And Yeah. Well, then, what landing?
Like when she crash lands on Earth, the ending of the movie?
Well, why would it be Gravity if she landed?
Shut the fuck up, dude.
This is getting contentious.
No, fun fact about Mars, Trill, is it has no life, just like you. Owned.
This is ugly.
I'm so off my game.
Ken Jack. Yeah, see, now he's going to load up for Sunday, too. He's going to be ready to fucking fire. Ken Jack, number four.
My number four is Sailor Moon R, the movie, The Promise of the Rose. It has like a bunch of different planets in it. It's Sailor Saturn, Sailor Neptune, Sailor Pluto. Like all of them are named after planets. It's like the most space movie you could possibly get.
That is very space.
That would have been a year ago too if you actually did your fucking joke list like we talked about.
Fight.
No, I actually can I tell you what the joke list was?
Yes. Jeff?
So okay, you're gonna start off and say like top 10 space movies, and I was gonna say like, oh, are you sure you want me to do this list? And you're gonna be like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, it just doesn't seem very like appropriate making
Kevin
this
Spacey.
List.
Yep.
My first one was gonna be Usual Suspects.
that's pretty good.
How hard would that have been to do? You didn't need to fucking prepare for that.
I don't know.
He just said Usual Suspects 10 times in a row. He's like,
I haven't come home and fucking put on my Under Armour boxer jocks yet.
You mean your Peter Millar jocks? Oh no, your Under Armour that you got from Stitch Fix.
Yeah,
which Fights is a fantastic service that is easy to send stuff back.
Promo code. So I have Stitch Fix. I get I've had a couple of pair of jeans I wore recently that people said, "Where'd you get those?" It's Stitch Fix.
It's the fix.
Am I the only one who has nighttime underwear?
Yeah, for sure. I wear jeans really? The whole time though, so I'm the weird one.
Yeah,
I mean, jeans to bed is still like I don't get.
Not to bed, just until bed. And then I take them off. Right.
You don't have those like raw denim, the raw denim jeans that you wear in bed and ride your bike and go in the ocean. Just get
never
those
nudes.
Wait, no, but I seriously have like I wear my Under Armour underwear at night, and then during the day I wear these Calvin Klein cotton ones, and I just like underwear rotation like that.
I have rotations. I wear boxers to bed. I wear like these. Like spandex or whatever, like the athletic underwear type stuff. I like that. Keep it.
You wear it during the day or to
keep
bed?
It tight during the day, and then when I wear like athletic shorts, I just wear like a regular like brief. So I rotate three.
Yeah, you got a whole thing going, huh?
Which shouldn't surprise anybody.
I'm a briefs guy until it's laundry day time, and then I usually ride out until laundry day with like a pair or two of boxers. But yeah. I'm a regular brief guy.
Have you guys ever worn Spanx?
No. Same thing as like a fleshlight. Like I'd love to use it. I just don't have the balls to buy it.
I just imagine myself putting on a pair of, they have like Spanx for him. I put on a pair of Spanx for him and my body would look like an ice cream cone.
Oh, Fives, what's your number four?
Four is Apollo 13. It's first band, but done right.
Ooh, that's a good pick.
Heavy call.
It's a good pick. Trill Ball. Oh, no. Audience, number four, Empire Strikes Back. great.
I think it's almost cheating using Star Wars in these lists, but that's, I guess that's fair.
I mean, I did. That's, it's funny. Was that a serious comment, or are you just like playing?
No, it's very serious. I feel like using Star Wars is literally okay. Just like cheating.
No, so I thought it's on my list too, and I actually, when I put it down, I'm like, I don't want to put it down, but then we're going to tweet this out.
And then people are going to be like, well, I know Star Wars. Yeah.
That's our favorite thing, by the way. Please tweet at us. You're like, how did you not put blank? It's like, well, it's our fucking opinion. Yeah, that's why it's our list.
No one's going to roast my list. That's what I'm happy
about.
That's for
sure.
This comes out.
Trill, number three.
Number three for me is
Usual Suspects.
Moon. Oh. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Oh, good.
Joke
were you surprised I put Moon?
No, Moon's great. David Bowie's son. What's his name? David Jones? Something Jones? Great director. Moon was great.
Yeah.
When did Moon come out?
Moon came out, I want to say, back when I was in high school.
2009-ish? 2008,
sounds right,
maybe?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Might have been 08. Oh, 09. Yeah. Duncan Jones. That's right.
Duncan Jones movie. Yeah.
Benedict Wong is in it, which is actually,
that's
Kevin
right.
Spacey's in that movie. That's right.
Nice. You did it.
Oh my
you
God,
did the damn thing.
I didn't realize
thing.
That. Benedict Wong is in that movie, and he's also in The Martian.
He is.
Oh, right.
And Doctor Strange.
The Martian has a great fucking cast.
And Infinity War.
The Martian has a ton of Marvel characters because Matt Damon was in Ragnarok for 5 seconds.
Michael Pena.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jessica Chastain is going to be in something soon.
Childish Gambino.
Danny Glover.
Donald Glover.
Nope, Donald Glover.
I told everybody when there was rumors that Donald Glover would be in Spider-Man, I'd be like, yo, Danny Glover might be Miles Morales. Like,
Danny Glover. That's right.
And I was like, yeah, Danny Glover, Childish Gambino. They go, okay, no, Danny Glover is, I'm getting too old for this shit. That's definitely not going to be Spider-Man. My number three is Aliens, the sequel, which is a fucking amazing movie.
It's probably like one of the best sequels ever made.
What? Not a movie for old?
It's like 1980s.
No.
Would you call it Terminator?
No, I'm thinking Alien. Alien. I watched Alien for the first time probably a year ago.
It's not that scary.
Could have been more underwhelmed by that movie.
Watch Aliens.
Oh, the ghost hold up.
Aliens is one of the
Aliens
best sequels.
Aliens might be better.
Aliens, yeah. I think Aliens is better.
Mm. That was a Jim, what's his name, banger.
Cameron.
Yeah, Jim Cameron.
Oh, Jimmy Cam. Jim Cameron, if he ever meets us, will punch us both, all three of us, directly in the face.
Jimmy Cam Girl.
Loves his fucking water and his tail penises on his avatars. Avatar was number 15 on the audience list. I think it was a joke. I'm glad it didn't make it in. Ken Jack, number three.
The old Jimmy Agua.
Oh, it's getting rough. Oh, tough audience.
Jimmy Agua.
Number three is Alexander.
All right.
Because Jared Leto's in it.
30 seconds to Mars.
So fucking stupid.
Took a second, but we got there.
It's number three.
Independence Day.
took a second, but
and Independence Day 2, also a wildly underrated movie. They send an African warlord to space machetes and no spacesuit. That movie's unbelievable.
So, like, you were first going to come on. So I think Coley joked, like, oh, God, your audience is going to cannibalize fights. He likes the most ridiculous. That might have been your most ridiculous take in two episodes.
I watched Independence Day 2 with my roommate Lewis, and we got up and high-fived when that dude he boards the plane with two machetes.
It's ridiculous.
And, like, a black beater is all he's wearing.
I gave Independence Day 2 a 3 out of 100.
It's a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. I would say it's properly rated.
I think 30% is pretty high.
Actually, for that, it is.
Yeah, it's a solid reboot.
Number three for the audience, Space Jam.
I knew that was going to be there somewhere.
Yeah. A groan from all four of us. I love it. Kid Trill, number two.
My number two, it's going to be a little bit of a surprise. It's 2001. No, I'm just kidding. Right Stuff. The Right Stuff is probably that's another old movie, but that's probably the best. Like,
that was number 11 on the audience list. Sorry, go ahead.
Probably the best, like, maybe not realistic, but like reality based astronaut space movie, in my opinion.
Did you not just watch First Man?
I did. I reviewed it on the podcast.
You just complained about how it was too realistic the entire time.
Okay. I don't really want to argue right now.
Charles is going to walk out of this podcast. His wife's going to be like, you want to watch some TV? No, I have to go write some jokes to roast Ken Jack on Sunday. Got to get in my office. Is it mine? Oh, yeah. Number two, the most realistic futuristic space movie, The Martian. Neil deGrasse Tyson is fucking obsessed with The Martian. Did you know that? It's like the most, like, realistic space movie that's like fictional space movie ever made. The Martian is incredible. I thought The Martian was like, I think my second or third highest rated movie of the year it came out. I thought it felt like it got some hate because people love the book, which I'm obviously a big book hater. Like, get the fucking book out of here. And Matt Damon was amazing.
I think also it winning for best comedy.
Right, right.
Like, kind of people like stopped taking it seriously.
Yeah, it's
like,
and it was funny at times.
Like, it was a good Martian was 11 on my list.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's very, very good.
And Martian's on Trill's list, and I said it's on the audience's list. The Martian, very rewatchable for me, too. I love The Martian. I can rewatch it whenever it's on TV, whenever I got a chance to watch it. It's like on Netflix or something. I absolutely love The Martian. It's very close to being number one, but number one is probably obvious at this point. Ken Jack, what's your number two?
My number two is the upcoming Bohemian Rhapsody. Take a second.
I know. I'm sure Trill knows what it is, too. It's probably for Galileo.
Nope. Although that would make just as much sense, actually, but just because it's Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. I thought that one was too easy. I didn't say it because I thought I was gonna be embarrassed that, like, it was something deeper than Freddie
Mercury. It's like if you acknowledge it, it becomes true. It's like one of those, like, vampire-type things if you just acknowledge a joke that bad.
Gross. Fights number two.
Armageddon.
Armageddon. I thought you said it all. Oh, you did say it. You said it's higher on your list.
Yeah.
Okay,
Armageddon. I mean, Armageddon's a...
Still shocked it didn't make the audience list.
That's very disappointing. Armageddon is one of my favorite movies of all time. Armageddon's so fucking good.
Very strange it didn't make the list.
That's got... You want to talk about heart and realistic space stuff?
Just buddy. Nuclear bombs.
You sit down and you watch the Armageddon. And also, even actually, you know, bumping it up even higher if my one wasn't something different. Armageddon is my one. Just so we're clear here, the outtakes when Ben Affleck is trying to explain to Michael Bay, like, why wouldn't the oil drillers just teach astronauts how to do it? And Michael Bay's like, "Shut the fuck up, Ben, and just do the scene." It's like one of my favorite YouTube clips of all the time. Coley showed it to me first, and it was Michael unbelievable.
Why would you want to fuck yourself out of money like that? Did they make that?
Mike, wouldn't it just make more sense to teach the astronauts how to just, like, fucking drill oil? Ben, just do the scene.
There is a behind the scenes of Transformers that I guess, like, Michael Bay screams through his megaphone. That's what he's really well known for, and he'll throw it on set sometimes, not at people, but he'll throw it. And there was a scene with Transformers where this crew got styrofoam megaphones and threw them at him. He goes, "Oh, because he's always yelling at us and throwing shit." Like, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's not a good reputation to have. Yes, hilarious. Audience number two, Apollo 13. Trill Ballins, what's your number one?
Had to do it to him. Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. So no Apollo 13 on your list.
If I did go over 10, it would be 11. Let's just put it that way.
It makes sense. I actually thought it was me for a second. My number one as well is Empire Strikes Back, by the way. Continue, though.
I had a music teacher. And I think it was like freshman year of high school, who showed us the scene in Apollo 13 where they're walking through like the hangar going onto the space shuttle or whatever. And then he's like, "Now watch the scene without music." And he was trying to illustrate the importance of music. like everyone's like, "Yeah, dude, we fucking get it. We're not 7 years old." Like, maybe read the room.
Did you know
we're in a music class that's not required in high school? Like, this is a group of people who have already said they are somewhat interested in music. Like, we don't need to be lectured on the importance of music. But Zack Snyder's watching and he's like, "Well, like, yeah, if you take 4 hours out of the movie, it makes it a lot worse."
My number one, Empire Strikes Back. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. One of my few 100s out of 100s. Perfect fucking movie. Ken Jack, number one. I mean, this better be fucking dynamite.
It's not. It's Valkyrie, the movie about trying to kill Hitler. Tom Cruise, if you're listening, I'd like to look at Uranus. That's all I have. That's all I had for this one.
I don't have my child's drum set.
You're right. That was like a fucking Norm Macdonald joke, your list. Like, just like the longest con. The longest con.
Just to play into Uranus joke, which is apparently still kills. I thought that stopped being funny when I was 12, and I was like, I just got to show
it
here somewhere.
Do you know what podcast you're still on? Do you remember what pod you're on? Uranus joke is, like, very complex for this podcast, too.
That's true. We are big dumb boys.
We laughed at Scrimble Shanks earlier, so we probably gonna laugh at Uranus. Which you say your number one,
it's shaving and everything.
Your number one is Armageddon. Or are you gonna?
Yeah, my number one here. So is what was Star your number two? Born.
Oh, okay.
Because that is a perfect movie as well. It's 100 out of 100.
By the way,
like it.
We've been talking to you now for an hour and 20 minutes. That's the longest I've heard you this week not sing "Shallow" from Star.
Yeah.
Feist just gets up from his desk. Whenever he gets up from his desk and goes somewhere, he's just singing "Shallow."
Well, I get nervous like walking by people and stuff like that, so like that's like my defense mechanism. Like I'm in the middle of something right now. Mm-hmm. I'm singing a song from a musical. If you'll excuse me, I have to get to the bathroom real quick and get back to my desk.
Just do you sing it in like the gruff voice, or you like, tell me something, girl,
in the shallow.
Shallow.
I actually, you want to know what? I basically do more of the Gaga scenes.
You do I think you do sing the Gaga.
I don't have the tone she does, but you get it.
It's tough to get.
Feel like I was there.
Yeah. See how important music is? Did look up the other guy, Pablo Schreiber.
Schreider. Yeah. Schreiber.
Okay.
It was the Netflix show he's in is Orange is the New Black, but he also always plays just
bad
like
guys, usually.
Basically, what I was saying, what my favorite movies are, he's the bad guy in it. Where it's like it's the military man who he was in Den of Thieves. He was fantastic in Den of Thieves.
He was a bad guy in a movie very recently too.
Skyscraper.
Yeah, that's right. Skyscraper.
Oh my
he was
God.
The guy who betrays him.
Yep. Same thing. He's the military guy who's gonna fuck with your family and shit's gonna go
he's
wrong.
He's like an ex merc, like now working for Blackwater guy. Right. Like that's him.
Audience number one, K-Pax.
God fucking damn it.
God damn them. They hit both.
No, it was Interstellar.
Oh, man, that would have been perfect, though, because that is a space movie and it is a Kevin Spacey movie.
The second I made this list, I'm like, I'm going to play a joke, right? Oh, we meant to do a fucking joke with fights and we didn't do it. We were going to open up the review and go,
all right,
so first up, Goosebumps, Haunted Halloween, and then you're going to try to riff off it for like 10 and see how quickly you'd be like, what? Guys, I didn't see fucking Goosebumps. Ah.
I got it, though.
Next time.
Maybe next time.
Jack Black isn't, like, starring in that. He makes a cameo. Like, how can you do Goosebumps without R.L. Stine himself?
Yeah, and, like, he wasn't added to, like, the last second, too. They're like, oh, he's in it. R.L. Stine's in it for a second.
On Wheel of Fortune, they have the letters at the bottom of the screen that kind of looks like R.L. Stine. When I was growing up as a kid, I thought it was always R.L. Stine.
Yeah,
I was like, dude, Goosebumps are huge.
Oh my God, you're telling your parents. Wow, I told you these books are big. Buy me more.
Yeah,
they don't have R.L.
The guy writes Goosebumps.
They don't have R.L. Stine, but they just have Ben Stein in this Goosebumps. Did you know evolution isn't real?
What was the show? The Ben Stein show?
Win Ben Stein's money.
Yes. Mm. Yes. We got to watch that. We got to watch The Mole and Joe Schmo. That's those are the three shows we got to watch.
Oh, Joe Schmo, that's right. Yep.
The Mole on ABC, hosted by Anderson Cooper.
And also Monk with Tony Shalhoub.
Yes.
We'll eventually get to rewatching that on commentary.
And The Slap. Tyler had to go back to Atlanta, so we don't have the Halloween Resurrection watch along. We're going to have that thing next week. He'll be back. But I think we're going to try to watch The Slap episode 2 by Friday.
And NBC's The Rookie. With Nathan Fillion.
And then the show with Tom from The Blacklist.
And
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. No, that's not Tom from The Blacklist. Wait, is
no,
it?
No, it's General Hospital or something. You're like some sort of hospital.
New Amsterdam is named, but I always thought New Amsterdam was Jack from Lost.
Oh.
No, New Amsterdam is Ryan
Eggel. Is that the hospital one?
No,
that's
New
hospital?
Amsterdam is definitely
he
Tom.
He looks a lot like Jack from Lost.
I also want to start watching The Bull on TNT. I just keep seeing commercials for it. I need to see it.
So, Fights, do you want to stick around for us to ask how Trill's day is, or do you have to bolt?
I got to run. Trill, I hope your day went really well. I'm sorry Ken Jack kind of ruined it when he got here, but...
Hey, thanks for coming on. That was a blast.
I love Ken Jack.
Bona fide recurring guest.
My pleasure. I'm on anytime.
Ken Jack's fake mean to me. We get it.
We get it.
I didn't say bye to him when he was here.
That's fair. He gets the pleasantries. So we didn't get our normal what's been going on lately before the pod.
Are you going to cut this into the start of the pod, or are we just going on? man, this is like throwing me off my schedule. Day was pretty good. Traffic. So here in Hoboken, they're doing some road work. So I had to contend with that a little bit. Took me 90 minutes to get home.
Yeah, I mean, the road work in Hoboken is always it. Hoboken flooded like 20 times in the span of a month, like a few weeks ago.
That sounds about right.
It was insane. Like, I'm not even making that up. Like, if you're listening to your Hoboken, please confirm on Reddit. Trill, you can confirm, yeah. Actually. But it flooded a lot. That kind of stinks. Anything else? What are we doing talking? What's our? Well, you're doing TikToks.
Yeah,
a lot of filming. You're basically the fucking Scorsese of TikTok at this point.
Yeah, except it's just me and Southerners and weird young teens. It's a weird place. It's fucking lawless. Like, people do anything they want right now because, like, no one's getting banned or whatever. Although, I had three of mine flagged and taken down only because one of them featured two dogs humping and then one of them throwing up. And that got flagged and taken down. But I still don't think that. That's just art. And then another one was me jerking off and that one got flagged. But it wasn't. You didn't see my penis. It was just, it was like me pantomiming doing it from the side angle, like a profile angle. So maybe they thought I was. I don't know. But it's fun. It's just lawless, and there's just all sorts of weird people on there, and too many.
How many
teens.
Followers do you have?
I only just started, but I'm up to like 100 and something right now.
Ooh,
damn, that's really good.
I'm getting there.
It's mostly your Twitter following, just checking out.
Yeah,
what you're doing.
It's literally them making a Twitch profile to follow me, and then never going back to it ever again. And then they'll probably end up deleting it soon. But I get that follower number.
People like when we talk about things and we don't actually talk about them. Can we release this meme on the air?
I think we should.
Who made this meme?
That's Trills.
Trill sent a meme. It's Bugs Bunny holding his,
I think I posted this.
His secret stuff. But did we post it?
I posted it on mine. You said about the group chat.
It's Bugs Bunny holding his secret stuff, and instead of secret stuff, it says John Arbuckle backshot air.
You know, when Bugs Bunny holds the secret stuff, he's got that stupid Bugs Bunny smirk on his face, too.
He so just needs that whiff.
He's endorsing a whiff of John Arbuckle's Garfield farts.
I think people would be shocked by what's in our group chat. It's mostly just the worst memes you could ever imagine.
Just
as
fall
on
your fucking chair.
As I hit the hydraulic release on my chair.
Oh my god.
It's mostly just gross memes, I would say, for the most part, right, Troll?
Dr. Phil M&M, I see.
Oh yeah, the horny Dr. Phil M&M. a very, very normal thing. We love horny Dr. Phil. We love him. what else we got? We have pregnant Garfield. Pregnant. What's Opie? Is that the dog, right?
Odie.
Pregnant Odie licking Garfield's feet. Horny Eminem. For some reason, Chucky Finster's dad wearing a kimono.
The Teapot Dome scandal. Thing.
Oh, yes. Yes, there's a Wikipedia entry that Trill sent. The Teapot Dome scandal, which is a scandal involving Warren G. Harding, his administration from the 1920s. And then the next picture Trill sent is the Lumiere. And what's the clock's name?
Clock Cogsworth?
The clock and Lumiere with Miss Teapot all smushed together.
And then we have like a lot of...
Nothing bad, and it's just suggestive.
It is just wildly suggestive, yeah.
A lot of James Corden. We have a lot of pictures of Jordan James Corden in here, I'm realizing.
Yeah, look, the James Corden thing's not a lot. We fucking love James Corden.
We just do.
The pictures of young James Corden are, I'm actually going to tweet one out right now. The young James Corden pictures are absolutely fantastic. And I really want him, on the, oh wait, who do we say James Corden was going to play before Trill got on here?
Oh, Barney Rubble.
Oh, Barney, yeah, James Corden is Barney Rubble.
That rocks, doesn't it?
Yeah, that rules. Like, he's a perfect Barney Rubble. Who would you cast as Fred Flintstone, though?
That's what you're saying.
Fred Flintstone's tough because it happens.
Bobby
to be
Moynihan.
Oh, no, goddamn you, dude. It's going to be him now. It's going to be him or James Gadd.
James Gadd.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Fred Flintstone.
He's like the fucking the teenage hormone monster in Big Mouth. You know, what's his name? Fucking.
Oh, yeah. Jamie?
No, Kevin or something?
Sorry, I'm thinking of
David?
The Joe Rogan podcast experience.
I don't know what his name is, but that's what fucking James Gadd sounds like. God damn it.
You keep saying James Gadd.
That's not his name. It's just straight up not his name
yeah,
at all.
Okay.
Damn.
We are awful at names today.
Yeah, it's just not a good name.
Though Schreckenmeyer was on purpose.
What are you going to do?
Wait, you do it, Troy. You're so much better.
The other man comes back. Sometimes it's just got to... I'm not going to do that one.
Please do not do that.
Oh,
you're the man, Steve.
I can't do it. I'm gonna work on it. I'm pretty sure the alpha hormone monster was Bobby Cannavale. I can't say for sure. He was though, right?
I don't know.
It sounded like him, like just a mega Italian accent. It might just be.
Let's look it up.
It's also National Pasta Day. I tweeted out the picture of...
We ate pasta yesterday live on the electric chair. For some reason, Chaps was sitting there. He's like, I just want some pasta.
I turned the electric chair on for 30 seconds, and Fights walks over and goes, are we getting pasta? And I just died laughing, and I had to turn off going to the movie. But I was pasta?
Yeah, we were sitting there, and Chaps was like, anybody else want pasta? And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen this pasta in my life, but yeah, why not? I mean, we seamless pasta, and it wasn't very good. The meatballs were just pink.
Was it National Pasta Day?
Yeah, today was. Today is. I tweeted the picture of Sofia Vergara, Buca di Beppo.
Yeah, that's right.
We have a lot of pictures. Hell yeah.
We have a lot of pictures of Darren Revelle in here, too, I'm realizing, in our chat.
No, we don't.
It's just him, him running.
Yeah, we do have a lot of memes. All right. Long pod, so we got to stop. Like a fucking hour 50. Oh my God, this might be.
I'm excited to listen to the Ike Barinholtz interview.
It's very funny.
It's great.
Yeah. That's a big get.
It's a good get.
Moving up. Yeah, moving up.
We have a couple. We might be interviewing Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson.
Yep.
If that works out. We have mid-90s. We're going to try to review mid-90s whenever Trill can see it, and we'll do it with the Failing Upwards guys. We have an interview with the cast on Sunday. We'll be playing that. And then. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to view Bad Times at the El Royale on Sunday, too, by the way. We didn't just give up on that. And I think that's it. I don't know.
I like that. I like Bad Times.
So we're signing off with Uber Everywhere, right, as a sign-off song for Trill and Hoboken? I want you to deny me. I'm like a shame pig when I request songs.
No,
like,
that's put the fucking song on your own playlist.
All right, yes.
What about Biggest Alley-Oop by Quavo?
Why not? Just throw it on there. Is that your legitimate request?
What? Oh, it's got such a good, it's got such a spooky intro. It's great.
What was my song last time?
Oh, it was something. People liked it, though, because I think that was like the biggest response in the Reddit was just that they loved the outro song.
Oh, it was High by Young Thug featuring Elton John.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah,
song.
Young Thug on the extra.
I played the 8D song the other day.
It's so great.
I might
do
a new 8D song. The 8D shit really fucks your head up.
Chuck introduced that to me the other day, and I kind of want to incorporate it into the ads. I just don't know how because I fucking have no clue how to mix audio like that.
Yeah, I don't know how to do 8D. Wait,
do you remember when Elton John performed with Eminem?
Oh, no.
Wait. No, he did.
Play it.
You don't remember that?
I know he did.
Hold on.
I just don't believe that's what you're about to show me.
Hold on. Okay, never mind. It's not working.
What were you really going to play?
I was going to play him doing Stan with Eminem because Elton John's voice is so funny. Because the wall turns around, he's like, my tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why. Got out of bed at all.
I didn't actually know this was a thing. I'm kind of interested in it now.
Yeah, that's the outro song.
The Grammys.
That's the outro song.
Okay.
That's just the Austin Powers theme song. That's what I thought he was going to.
Yeah, baby.
All right, keep it going. Keep it playing. Keep it fucking playing. We're going to review Bad Times at the El Royale on Sunday. Thanks for listening to this fucking long-ass podcast.
Oh, do I make you Randy, baby?
For Ken Jack,
nobody
Fights,
makes me Randy.
Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
Have a good week at the box office. Damn, I'm off. The chief's gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. The morning rain clapped up my window. Oh, I can't see it all. And even if I could, it would all be great. Put your picture on my wall. It reminds me that it's not so bad, not so bad. Dear Slim, you still ain't called a rope. I hope you have a chance. I ain't bad. I just think it's messed up you don't answer fans. If you didn't want to talk to me outside your concert, you don't have to. Could have signed an autograph for Matthew. That's my little brother, man. He's only 6 years old. We waited in a blistering cold for you for 4 hours and you just said no. That's pretty crummy, man. You're like his favorite idol. He wants to be just like you, man. He likes you more than I do. I ain't that mad, though. I just don't like being lied to. Remember when we met in Denver? You said if I write you, you would write back. See, I'm just like you in a way. I never knew my father neither. He used to always cheat on my mom and beat her. I can relate to what you're saying in your song. So when I have a crummy day, I drift away and put them on. Cause I don't really got help, so that helps when I'm depressed. I even got a tattoo with your name across the chest.
Sometimes I even cut myself to see how much it bleeds. It's like adrenaline. The pain is such a sudden rush for me. See, everything you say is real, and I respect you because you tell it. My girlfriend's jealous because I talk about you 24/7. But she don't know you like I know you, Slim. No one does. She don't know what it was like for people like us growing up. You gotta call me, man. I'll be the biggest fan you'll ever lose. Sincerely yours, Stan. P.S. We should be together too.
But she's gone cold. I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. The morning rain clouds up my window, and I can't see it all. And even if I could, it would all be great. But your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad, not so bad.
Dear mister, I'm too good to call or write my fans. This will be the last package I ever send your ass. It's been 6 months and still no word. I don't deserve it. I know you got my last two letters. I wrote the addresses on them perfect. So this is my cassette I'm sending you. I hope you hear it. I'm in a car right now. I'm doing 90 on a freeway. Hey, Slim, I drank a fifth of vodka. You dare me to drive? You know the song by Phil Collins in the air of the night about the guy who couldn't save that other guy from drowning? But then, if Phil saw it all, then at his show he found him. That's kind of how this is. You could have rescued me from drowning. Now it's too late. I'm on 1,000 downers now. I'm drowsy. And all I wanted was a lousy letter of a call. I hope you know I ripped all of your pictures off the wall. I loved you, Slim. We could have been together. Think about it. You ruined it now. I hope you go to sleep and you dream about it. And when you dream, I hope you can't sleep and you scream about it. I hope your conscience eats at you and you can't breathe without me. See, Slim, shut up. I'm trying to talk. Hey, Slim, that's my girlfriend screaming in his trunk. But I didn't slit her throat. I just tied her up. See, I ain't like you. Because if she suffocates, she'll suffer more. Then she'll die, too. Well, gotta go. I'm almost at the bridge now. Oh, shoot, I forgot. How am I supposed to send this tape out?
The tea's gone cold. I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. The morning rain clouds up my window. Your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad, not so bad.
Dear Stan, I meant to write you sooner, but I've just been busy. You said your girlfriend's pregnant now. How far along is she? Look, I'm really flattered you would call your daughter that. And here's an autograph for your brother. I wrote it on a starter cap. I'm sorry I didn't see you with the show. I must have missed you. Don't think I did that intentionally just to diss you. But what's the stuff you said about you like to cut your wrist too? I say this stuff just clowning, dog. Come on, I messed up is you. You got some issues, Stan. I think you need some counseling to help your ass from bouncing off the walls when you get down some. And what's this junk about us meant to be together? That type of crap will make me not want us to meet each other. I really think you and your girlfriend need each other. Or maybe you just need to treat her better. I hope you get to read this letter. I just hope it reaches you in time before you hurt yourself. I think that you'll be doing just fine if you relax a little. I'm glad I inspired you, but Stan, why are you so mad? Try to understand that I do want you with a fan. I just don't want you to do some crazy bit. I seen this one in the news a couple weeks ago that made me sick. Some dude was drunk and drove his car over a bridge and had his girlfriend in the trunk, and she was pregnant with his kid. And in the car they found the tape, but it didn't say who it was to. Come to think about it, his name was... It was you. Damn.